Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. You know, one of these days I'll either have to make a new theme and include the word Florida after Milton or something like that. Just for the fun of it, I thought I'd check messages right before the show started. And of course I get a message from Lindsay. What's the show number? It's one of those things that you need to have handy at all times, Lindsay. That's okay. Yesterday my guest called my cell phone rather than the show, so I had to stop the show. Put up something on the I think I played one of my Santa Rosa Volunteers things, and text her, I said, "You're calling the wrong number." People do this to me all the time. Well, welcome to live radio. Hi, Lindsay. How you doing?
Good morning. And just so you're aware, I have it saved as Greg's radio show number.
Oh, good. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, because you never know. You know, 7 to 10 Monday to Wednesday, 10 to 1 Thursday, 6 to 9 Friday. We're the only show I know that just we sort of bend to the guests. You know, well, what's convenient for you?
Yes.
So we're kind of all over the place.
Yes, you do that.
Well, I try to, because I want to get more people in. And we have more. So much is happening right here. Did you hear our sex report yesterday? It was hysterical. We had such a good time.
I'm going to be listening to that on my lunch break today, because I saw where you had messaged all of us about it. I'm excited
well, yeah,
to listen to sex talk.
Well, it's funny I say that, but it's also it's spiritual. You know, we have basically a born again conservative, God, you know, loving person here who you know, grew up Catholic and grew up liberal. And it's really fascinating we're catching the transition, so we're sort of riding the wave with her, and so this is going to be a great experiment. But she's another wellness person, so I mean the show. This is why I titled the show today. I'm from the wellness community, and I'm here to help. So I just thought I'd have a little bit of fun on the government thing. I'm from the government. I'm here to help. So as the show gradually gets converted to the Action Radio Wellness Program,
I've noticed that it's politics and wellness.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, I go with where my interest lies, and my interests change. You know, I mean, we have all these different reports. We got cruise and travel. We've got legal. We've got – we had a medical freedom report. That's going to be off for a bit. Our national security, person's taking a break. We've got some different things happening. And we just – I just go where it goes. I mean, for a long time, we were doing family law. And it just
– Well, I love it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just feel like you're exposing sometimes when – we are really, really hardcore conservatives. Sometimes we're not, it's not that we don't believe in the wellness world as far as like the woo-woo stuff goes. It's just that you're not aware of it. It's unfamiliar and you can sometimes fear it. So I just think it's absolutely phenomenal that you're allowing everyone to be exposed to it, because there is a healthy way of living that doesn't always have to be hard. And there are ways to help your day-to-day just by the type of routine that you do. So I think it's great that you're doing this.
Well, thank you. And it's not political either. You know, I mean, the show, when we get political, and it's really funny because people think of this as a conservative show. I am not a conservative. You know, I think conservatives are a bunch of wimps. I mean, I really do. I mean, why would I call them the Gelding Old Party if I had any respect for them?
What would you call us exactly? I'm curious, because I don't know what to call us either.
Yeah, I had to think about that for a while. Constitutional independent.
Okay. I'll go with that. I can see it. Yeah.
Because we love our Constitution. It is the supreme law of the land. And if we would stick to it, you know, most of our problems in government and politics would go away. That's the first thing.
We're trying to uphold it because it makes sense.
Yeah. But I'm independent, but I'm not a traditional independent, you know, independent of both parties. So I am independent of the parties, but I'm really independent in terms of my thought. In other words, I'm not held by any ideology.
Yes, I would agree. That is how I feel I am as well. I agree.
Okay.
I love how you put that.
Yeah, constitutional independent. Yeah, there you go. So there's a new term. Play with it. Think about it. See if it fits.
Yes. Before we go into anything else too deep, I wanted to bring recognition to Elijah Dickens. Are you aware of what happened with Elijah Dickens and the almost mass shooting in Indianapolis?
Yes. But go ahead. Please feel free to explain.
Yes. So in the Greenwood Mall in Indiana over the last, I think it was in the last week, there was a potential mass shooting at the mall. A lot of people have come forward who were in the mall during this experience. And Elijah Dickens was there shopping either for or with his girlfriend. And he happened to be carried. And when the mass shooter came into the mall and started unloading rounds, he was able to shoot 10 rounds at the shooter. He hit him 8 out of the 10 times. The shooter tried to recede into the bathroom, and he ended up bleeding to death pretty much at the mall. Mm-hmm. This man, Elijah, is a young man. He has no formal military or police training. He displayed tactic, mindset, and control, and he was able to defuse the situation and save, they said, hundreds of lives within that mall. One person who was in the mall was next to the food court, and the Dick's Sporting Goods was right next to the food court. He started running, and he tried to get out into the parking lot, and they shut the mall down. They locked it down. Of course, that's what they're supposed to do. I never thought about that, though. If you're in a
no, you don't lock the mall down when the shooter's in there. I mean, you would open the doors and say everybody out, empty the mall.
Yeah, and you can't get out. So I could only imagine the fear that all those people had, and I just really wanted to just say it. I mean, Elijah is a hero, and I think he needs to be recognized nationally because I haven't heard too much about him on other social media platforms outside of the news. So I just wanted to bring awareness to who he is and what he did.
Well, and why this is so critically important is because he's not being recognized. I mean, you know, everybody knows George Floyd. Everybody knows, you know, those horrible, tragic assassinations, you know, in Stoneman Douglas in Florida, and then when we just had in Uvalde. But what this proves, and the reason this is not being talked about in the news, is it proves that a regular citizen, without the, quote, training that the left always wants everybody to have, that is non-government, using their brain, using common sense, using their humanity, using the courage that God gave him, you know, and the ability to take action and not have to think, you know, do I have to worry about my personal safety at the expense of his personal safety? I guess his girlfriend there too, you know, did the right thing. You know, and see, this goes everything. This is America first. This is person first. This is responsible citizen. This is, you know, this is doing exactly what this person was supposed to do. And because of that, you know, what this says is that for all those folks that say, well, citizens, it's more dangerous for a citizen to have a gun. You know, guns should only be in the hands of the police. You know, we want the Second Amendment in reverse. You know, we want the government to be armed and the people to be disarmed. Well, this disproves everything that the left says. So, of course, they can't have it in the news. But thank you for bringing it up.
Great example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got Pianki in the line. He's probably going to want to talk about this, but I know you have another topic, so I just want to greet Pianki. And Pianki, do you have a really quick comment on this? Because Lindsay's one of our wellness people, and I know we're going to talk about that. But she did bring up a great point. Pianki?
Well, you know, it's funny. Good morning. It's funny that she mentioned Dick's Sporting Goods because they had taken an anti-gun stance. Remember?
Mm-hmm. I do remember. Why do you think we call them Dick's?
Dick's. Now, it's a funny thing that they've taken a stance.
Hey, they're not a sponsor.
Because of his bravery and him exercising what he dutifully should exercise. Probably save lives of people in the store. I just wanted to mention it.
No, absolutely. In fact, Lindsay just said exactly the same thing. But again, this is a person, you know, and of course what they always do is when someone defends themselves, they always talk about, well, this was a legally purchased firearm, you know, and it was carried with a concealed carry permit. Like, this makes any difference. It doesn't. You know, if this was an illegally stolen firearm, you know, carried without a carry permit, and it was used properly to defend people, what are you going to say then? I mean, this is fascinating. Anyway, let's save this for our Friday gun chat. Lindsay, if you want to come back and talk about it, feel free. But let's talk wellness. In fact, this person is extremely well, and I hope they, you know, that they are treated well and not accused of whatever investigations. You know, good thing. I hope they don't have a New York or a San Francisco DA that says, you saved too many lives. We're going to prosecute you because you killed the victim. You know, the person was
going to
shoot
100 Yes, people. We are going to send Elijah all the good vibes and all the well wishes. Today, I wanted to talk about something. We're a few weeks behind, but it is important I bring this up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about CERN, the Hadron Collider that's going on in Switzerland right now, and there's also one fired up in Tennessee. Are you aware of that?
Okay, spell it out, say it slowly, and your phone's a little weak probably because it's a cell phone. You might be just a bit of a distance from it. So what was this called again?
So we want to talk about CERN, which is C-E-R-N. That is the company that has built it. And what what they built is called the Hadron Collider, which is H-A-D-R-O-N Collider. Mm-hmm. And a group of, I think it's about 10,000 scientists went to Switzerland decades ago, and they created this machine. And decades ago, they fired it up, and they just was seeing what they could find. What they found the first time was the God particle, and they believe that the God particle has a key in creating humanity, not just human life, but the universe. So they had it on for 3 to 5 years. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. They had to do some revisions on it, make it more powerful and sustainable, manageable, and they did. So on July 5th, they fired it up for the first time ever with the intentions of going to full capacity. Their intention of doing this is they're trying to recreate the Big Bang Theory. That, to me, just blows my mind that that's even legally allowed to happen on this planet.
Well, hopefully it's not another Big Bang. It's like, you know, fusing atoms together creates a nuclear, thermonuclear fusion bomb. So, you know, I mean, it's like Jurassic Park. Remember Jurassic Park, where Jeff Goldblum has the best line in the film? He says, you only asked if you could, you didn't ask if you should. And that's really what should govern science, you know?
Yes, and I believe the one in Tennessee, is more of a low-profile experiment going on. They're legitimately looking for portals, what they can see out in the universe, by what they can see through this reaction. And I think that the experiment and the science by itself, I think has a lot of potential to answer a lot of questions that right now people just can't answer. So it brings up a good debate, God versus the Big Bang Theory, evolution, all that kind of stuff. That's awesome. Okay, whatever. I'm about that. But what I want to talk about is the fact that...
Well, you skipped over that fast.
You mentioned about
50 hours of programming.
Right. So they fired this up, and they said it could take up to 5 weeks for this machine to reach full power.
Well, what does it do? Let's define what this thing does. Is it a particle accelerator? Is it one of those things? I mean, I've heard about these things where they'll take particles and they'll bring them up as close as they can to light speed and see what that does, you know? And what exactly does this thing do?
That's basically what it's doing. You can break that down. There's actually, I think, five different experiments going on within this machine. It's not just one thing. They can break the particles down. They can see how they move. They can, every experiment has its own section in the machine for the scientists to look at and to collect data on. So it's not just one mechanism. It's a huge deal. But the issue is that when this machine does reach full power, which it's pretty strong right now, and they do fire it to quote unquote recreate the Big Bang Theory, people need to understand that that's a huge deal, because the amount of frequency and energy that it is going to take that machine to fire off is going to affect this entire planet. And I don't mean that to instill fear within anybody. I just want people to understand what that means. What that means is that it's going to give off waves. And those waves are going to vibrate. Like if you touch the water and it, what is the word I'm thinking of, Greg?
Oh, well, you touch the water, you create waves, you create a frequency, frequency of the waves. And it repeats itself. You know, that's how radio waves work. That's how ocean waves work. Fluids. You're talking fluid dynamics is what you're speaking about.
Yes. I just want the know. So
I'll
that's
fill in words.
Happen.
I can do that. I'm the host.
Yes. That's going to happen. Currently happening right now. The problem is that these frequencies that's being given off from this machine are not natural. They're not anything that our body, our energy is used to handling. And when this happens, it's going to kind of bring us down into a low state of vibration, frequency. Now, what does that mean? That means that you're going to start having a harder time. And I don't mean that, again, to instill fear with you. I just want you to be aware of it so that you know how to combat it. You might start getting down on your luck. You might notice that things just aren't going right. Like one day traffic's just going to be all over the place. And yes, that's usual, but it's going to start happening more and it's going to trigger you quicker. The last time they had this machine up, the conspiracy theorists of the world claim that's when the Mandela effect happened. And I don't disagree
with
that. Because
let's talk about that, just to define thing terms for all our listeners. Yeah. What's the Mandela effect?
Well, the Mandela effect is where is when a mass portion of the world's population remembers something differently than another portion of the world's mass population, and that is
Oh, like the election? The like 2020
yes.
election, for example?
No, it's more like Nelson Mandela when everybody thought he died, and then everybody else said no, he didn't, and then like the Berenstain Bear, how you pronounce different things. Now, there is tons of proof of the Mandela effect being in effect. And what's going to happen this time around is I don't know so much that it'll be something like the Mandela effect. They already say that there's one going on. I'm not going to say it out loud because I haven't looked far enough into it. But what I'm worried about is the low vibrations and frequencies. A lot of people are going to have problems with their home. A lot of people are going to have problems with their vehicles. Electronics, technology, there's going to be a lot of glitches going on. You're not going to be able to understand it, and you're still going to have to live through it. So if you
this
work
sounds
from
like an
home
EMP. This sounds like an EMP, electromagnetic pulse thing you're talking about. Okay, so this I'm getting more versed in. I mean, Dr. Peter Pry was amazing about talking about this on a regular basis. In fact, we have had legislation. We have state model legislation to deal with EMP and protecting our power grid. So let's take a look at particle acceleration. I mean, and see if we can sort of analyze what this is. Now, if you're talking, I want to know what the God particle is, because my limited knowledge of physics, you know, you've got your basic. You got molecules which break down into atoms, which break down into neutrons, protons, and electrons, and those break down into subatomic particles, quarks, and I don't know where you go from there, but there I think there are particles below that. So the God particle, is that a sub quark particle? What exactly is it from your knowledge?
To be honest with you, I don't feel like I have the education to explain that.
You know, you can wing it on the show. You know, I mean, I'm just curious what you know about we can report back next time, you know, do some research. No, I think you're really onto something, and I want to do more research and continue this because this is fascinating. So I think you're definitely onto something, but you know me, I ask impossible questions because that's what pops into my head. You don't have to know the answer.
The thing that I remember from researching it a few weeks ago is that they believe that is a key player in the creation of humanity as a whole. Now, the Big Bang Theory, the reason why they're doing this is because they're saying that our planet is located in a portion of the galaxy where we have a higher amount of gravity than the rest of the universe. So
how'd they figure that out?
When Big Bang Theory happened, the theory is that antimatter and matter collided, and there was more, I believe, antimatter than there was supposed to be. So when the collision happened, actual physical things came out of that explosion. We should have disintegrated, whereas instead we created. And that's what they're trying to prove right now. And that's beautiful. But I'm here to tell you how to get around what's going on, because it's already happening. People are already experiencing this low state of vibration. There's a lot of depression going on. It's being intensified and amplified. What you need to do is you need to take care of yourself. You don't need to be listening to this negative music. A very good thing that you can do, and this is one of the most simple things to do, go get yourself some pink Himalayan salt. Take pink Himalayan salt and white Epsom salt. You can buy it at any store, drug store, anything like that. Combine the two. I own a branding company, and I make this for my clients. I call it Pinch of Pink. And you take the two, and you soak in it for 12 minutes. That's how long you need to soak, literally, 12 minutes.
And what does that do?
You pour 2 cups of it into a warm bath, and you soak in it. What it does is it detoxes your body. It cleanses you. It essentially gives you an icy hot feeling if you want to know physically how it feels. And it's very refreshing. It's revitalizing. And it's recalibrating. That is one of the easiest ways to reset your mindset. So I recommend that everybody try that at least once. It's only 12 minutes. I keep an actual glass salt shaker in my shower. And I keep that combination in there. And when I'm in the shower, I just sprinkle it on top of my head, my shoulders, and my chest, and I just allow the water and steam to allow it to melt into my scalp and my body. And every single time, I feel like $1 million when I get out of the shower. So that's a very simple way for anyone to take care of themselves.
Hold on. This is interesting. What makes it pink? What is pink
the
Himalayan,
pink
salt,
Himalayan
pink?
Salt?
What's in it?
Oh, the pink Himalayan salt is actually there's an actual, I think it's in India. There is actually a place where people go and they mine it. Like, you can buy pink Himalayan salt rock lamps, and it literally diffuses the negative ions in the air around you. You put those around your
house.
Okay,
that's critical.
Well, actually, it's
the negative ions are the good ones. It's the positive ones that are problems. At least it was in offices. This is why everybody hangs out at lunchtime around fountains, because moving water, and the beach, the same thing. When water moves and waves and generates and things like that, you get negative ions, and those are the good ones. They counter the positive ions that come out of computers, electronic machines. My problem, 20 years ago with big Xerox photocopy machines, which churned out tons of positive ions, gave me an instant, massive headache. So I just want to make sure we got our ions correct.
Neutralize that.
Okay.
The pink Himalayan salt, it helps neutralize that. And the rock, if you buy the lamp, which you can get them anywhere, they neutralize the environment around you. And every office you go into with an energy worker or a wellness worker, you're going to see a pink Himalayan salt rock lamp. It's just, we all have them. I have like 7 of them in my house.
I need one. I need a Power Action Radio by Pink Rock Salt Himalayan Lamp. I think that'd be great. Hold on just a second, Lizzie. I'm going to get Bianca a quick point in here, and then we'll get back to you. Yeah, go ahead, Bianca.
It's coming from the, what they call the Pink Lake there in Senegal, West Africa.
Oh, well, it's not the Himalayas. So this pink, and we still don't know what the pink stuff is, but it comes from different places on Earth. That's interesting.
Well, it's a chemical reaction, basically what it is. Matter of fact, people come there from all over the world and just jump off in the water. You can't drown because it's the density is so great. It's just like almost tantamount to walking on the water.
What is it, like the Red Sea, which has similar things that people float so easily in the Red Sea? And is that pink also? Is it the same kind of salt we're talking about?
I never have been to the Red Sea, but I would imagine that that's red. But the pink for sure is pink.
Well, red actually comes from reed. Yeah, red is like a contraction of reed. It's the Reed Sea. So there's something. I guess they're salt marshes. Yeah, but that's a different thing. We're sort of getting Lindsay off topic here, which happens. So Lindsay, is this pink salt available in other places, or is it only found in the Himalayas?
You should only purchase it from the Himalayas, and you can read on the back of any. I looked it up real quick because my brain was spacing real bad. you can also. I was like, wait a minute, I wasn't prepared for that. But
You're never going to be prepared for my questions. You just never are.
I got Google, and I googled it. It's the iron oxide.
What'd you find?
What does it? The iron oxide.
Ferrous material. That's where you get Ferris wheels from, by the way. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so this is interesting. Now, iron. Okay, let's think about this, all right? Let's use our logic and reason. Iron is conductive of electricity, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're putting iron oxides or iron into your body, you might become a better conductor. And iron, conductors are going to attract ions, charged air, electrically charged, particles in the air. So if this takes the good negative ions bonding with potentially positive ions in the salt, because salt is a mixture like sodium chloride. Okay, sodium is negative, chloride is positive, if I remember. So those atoms, form together to form salt, NaCl. Okay, so if this is what's going on in your body. If the salt or it creates a salt that attracts the right ions, it's going to rebalance you. That makes sense. What do you think?
Yes, and it works.
I'm sure it works, but do you like my explanation?
I do like your explanation. I call that cross-discipline communication, is when you can
take. Is that what that was?
Really?
Damn, I'm impressed now. Okay. Well, look it up and see if we, maybe you can add to the definition, and that way this might make more accessible to folks, and you can explain if this is true, if this is my theory. And so if you can prove it based on the evidence that you find that this actually does attract the correct ions, then this might be a huge selling point and B, fascinating to know. Just a thought.
Oh, yes. I know it's true. I just don't know how to say it right. So I will look it up and I'll
do it. Just practice.
I was more concerned, unfully aware of, but your life isn't just going down the hole right now. Everybody is experiencing this change in frequency as far as our vibrations. even as an energy worker who's aware of what's going on with CERN right now, there's also one that they fired off in Tennessee, and I'm not sure how powerful that one is. But I, even myself, there's days I've been waking up where I'm just like, wow, I have to really intentionally keep myself in a positive mindset today. And that's not usual. The last like 6-7 months, it's really been a choice of mine. Do I want to be happy today or do I want to be in a mood today? And now it's one of those things where, wow, you're slipping there. Like, let's get you up. So I'll listen to, I like to listen to a song called Monarch, where it's a musician who uses different sound therapy techniques in his music, and he makes different voice sounds, and it really resonates, and it brings you up. His name is Saint Finnegan, and that alone, when I listen to that, I feel it almost immediately. Like, I'll get goosebumps, and I'll realize, hey, you're waking up again. Like, you got that energy back. And my fear is that all of this is going to affect the population and everybody's going to get real down on their luck because they are going to start having technical issues with their technology, their vehicles, their moods, everything like that.
But
and
we have that anyway. I mean, our technology is not perfect. Let me just jump here for a second. I think you're onto something. But I'm curious, though, as to the government effect. You know, when I feel miserable or if I feel – and I can tell when I haven't exercised enough. I go for a bike ride and go look at the bunnies and the dragonflies. You know, that's what I do. And there's many things where I'll do, you know, like Tibetan throat singing. You know, get my voice way down there and, you know, start doing that. And I get in touch with my – you know. But the biggest – but my issue that I want to ask you about is control. And I think the biggest reason people are stressed is a lack of control. If you can't control your work environment or you don't have enough gas to get to work or take your family places or do the things you have to do, that's a loss of control. If you think that the climate is changing so much and all these wildfires, you're all going to burn up in a wildfire, you know, see, to me, it's just a hot summer. Okay. I understand that there are hotter summers and there are cooler summers. That's the way the world is. You know, things go up and down. There's no stable. So to me, that's not a loss of control. That's just observing what's happening. Okay. Like, it's pouring rain now. Can I change that? No. I go with it. If the show quits, you know, I'll start it over again, you know, and that may happen, you know, but I think loss of control, you figure COVID, masks are coming back. That's a stressor. We've talked about how stress ruins your immune system. So you combine COVID and climate change, which I think are the two most dangerous government abuses of power to control the masses. It's no wonder people are upset. And then you throw some of this other stuff in. I understand it.
Yeah.
So how about, so what do you think about that?
Well, I think that a lot of people are lazy nowadays, and if they can play the victim card, they're going to play it. And I think people get so comfortable in having an excuse that instead of just figuring it out and pushing forward through it, making it work, being like, oh, well, I can't control that today, so I'm not going to react in a negative way to it. I'm just going to be like, oh, that happened. Instead, they are playing the victim card really hard, and that is a choice. I want people to know that your car breaks down, your kid gets sick, your dog dies, and you call out of work 3 days in a row because of those three instances. Don't get me wrong. Those are all valid instances to call out of work, but did you really need to call out of work for that? Could you have had a positive mindset and made it through that day, earned your money, took a different perspective on it, gave yourself some space, and then grieved or dealt with that when you got home that day? Now, please don't think that I think if like a family member passed away or, you know, you break your arm or something, like that's one thing. But if you're just having a bad day and you can come up with an excuse to get out of doing something that's going to make life harder on everybody else around you, that's the victim mentality, and you need to get out of that. The more, the stronger you can be mentally and the more you can handle in a positive, healthy way, the stronger you're going to be and the better your days are going to be. My car broke down last week, and that really could have messed up my entire job. I had training. I had shifts I needed to be at. And instead of calling my boss, telling him I had car issues and complaining about it and having him cover my shifts, I made my whole family jump in the wagon with me. Hey, I have shifts. I have kids. You guys need to help me out. And guess what? We all made it happen without ever letting my job know that I was going through a very hard time, you know, and that came with money stress, that came with family stress, all of it. And that could have put me in a really low state of mind, depression, why me, all of that. And it didn't. To me, I looked at it as a test. Okay, life's hard right now. Are you going to be a victim or are you going to be a hero? So I think it's important that everybody take it as a test when you're having a bad day. Are you going to let it beat you, or are you going to find the positive perspective, and are you going to beat it? So
you should be congratulated, because what you just proved is how much control that you do have. Even when things are bad, you still have control. Even when things, you know, you don't have absolute control. I mean, you can't, you know, wave your hand over your car and get it fixed. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you have to physically go and fix whatever part needs fixing or replacing. But the thing is, same thing. I remember after heart surgery, they wouldn't let me drive. Well, I took Uber, took Uber to the shopping center, bought my groceries, took Uber home. Sometimes the Uber driver took my groceries upstairs. So the question is, choices. How do choices figure? If you give up control, even though when bad things happen, you still have a certain measure of control, and that includes choices. So do you think that people just give up on making other choices because it's inconvenient?
Yes, they don't want to.
What do you think? Okay.
They like the attention they receive, first of all, when they are the victim, because when bad things happen, people react to that because people – get off to hearing about what people are going through, the hardships people are going through. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm here if you need anything. That's attention to people who wouldn't normally get it. So when they realize they have that choice, I could take a positive perspective on this. They decide not to, because now they're going to miss out on that validation and that attention that they were getting from these people who they didn't think really cared about them anymore. And that's sad, because that means that people are trying to find their self-worth in other people. The key is
wait a minute. That's huge. What you just said is the whole show. Finding your self-worth in other people. And so we need to explore that further. Yeah, that's brilliant.
But that's why they choose not to take the higher road in most situations, in my opinion. So when you ask me the control question, I think it's just because people aren't to that point yet where they are comfortable in who they are, and they don't need that outside attention and validation to maintain their depression, if you will.
Yeah. Hey, Wendy, you want to talk to Lindsay? Lindsay, meet Wendy. Go ahead.
Hi, Wendy.
Hold on, Piaki.
Good morning, Wendy.
I don't know if Lindsay heard. Lindsay, I just wanted to match you two up, and then we're going to get to Wendy's report in a second. Wendy, say hi to Lindsay. Lindsay, say hi to Wendy, because I don't think you guys have talked before.
Good morning.
Hey, Lindsay, how you doing?
Good morning.
Great to hear from you.
You too.
There we go.
And what you just said is very true.
Thank you.
People look to other people for their validation instead of knowing who God created them to be. So, if you're looking for somebody else to validate you, then as soon as somebody doesn't, then, your world spirals, and that's just not good.
Exactly. And I think you could really tie that into Jesus, too, because Jesus was turned around, I believe, please correct me if I'm wrong, when Jesus went off and he learned more and he shared his words and taught the different rabbis and the teachers, when he came back, didn't his home community, they didn't agree with what he was saying, and didn't he have to leave to be able to go share his word and to get his purpose out there?
Well, there was just so much unbelief in his town, he couldn't do miracles, the scripture says, because they were like, well, he's just Joseph and Mary's kid. Who does he think he is? That familiarity, contempt thing.
He could not rely on validation. He had to have that inner self-worth.
Well, I mean, he spent time with his Father in heaven, and because he knew who he was, he wasn't just born not knowing who he was. I mean, he emptied himself. God says, he emptied himself and created Jesus as man here on earth. He knew where his position really was. He knew who he was, but he knew he had to humble himself and come down here as a human being and then experienced all the things that we experience here, rejection by people and deceit and lying and all the ugly things that are in a man's heart. So he had to know who he was in order to endure all of that and then still want to go to the cross for all the people who were doing this to him. So,
exactly.
It was pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
Well,
let me just jump in for a second.
Go.
Well, I just see Pianchi had one more point for you, or Pianchi, did you I want to make that one because we sort of jumped on your comment there, and then we'll. Go ahead.
You talk about those choices. A lot of the choices come about through bad planning. You don't plan ahead for obstacles and things unseen. Then when they do appear, they cause all kind of havoc that leads to depression.
Yes, for sure.
If you're not,
but you
only
do so much planning.
He's waiting. He is. He's waiting for an opportunity to come in and try to test you. He is. So you should, you know, have a savings in case your car, something happens with your car. Have a savings in case something happens with your washer and dryer. I mean, you can, you have to be smart about it, and life's not always going to be a material dream, but there are ways to help yourself be prepared for these life hardships that you're expected to face in a positive, strong way, and not let it bring you down to a low level. So you're exactly right.
Let me just hold you up there. This has been great. Obviously, we have a lot more to continue next time. So let's get your contact info, and then I'm going to get to Wendy, and we're going to hear about the guide stones, which I'm kind of fascinated with, our American Stonehenge. And thanks, Lindsay.
No problem. My name is Lindsay Horton. You can email me if you'd like to talk or set up a session. My email is lghorton33@gmail.com, and you can also find me on TikTok at Lindsay Galen Horton to see my Reiki and healing videos. Good luck, Wendy. Bye, Conti. Bye, Greg. I'll see y'all later.
Sounds good. Thanks for joining in this morning. Yeah. And let's get to Wendy. Here we go. Do you really want the truth? Do you have questions you can't ask in church? Welcome to the Oh My God Report. Wendy Arthur is more concerned with truth than propaganda, putting more value in scripture than religion, and more about you and your relationship with God than your membership in any church. This is Christianity with a Kick. So what are these graven images that are going up all over Georgia? What the hell was with these things?
Well, not exactly graven images, but it was still not of God, and it's people don't understand why. And so I have.
Well, what were they first of all? Let's define what these things exactly were. What was their intended purpose, and whether they did that or not? And you know, just for folks that don't know, this is the first I'd heard of them. Was when they, I guess they were knocked down, destroyed, or something happened. I'm not even sure of that.
Yeah, they were erected in 1980. In a 5-acre cow pasture, on close to the border of the Georgia-South Carolina, you know, state lines, and you're nobody, and they're saying, if you go to the Georgia Guidestones, you know, site, oh, nobody knows who erected them or how they got there. Okay, let's just call BS. Okay.
Somebody brought rocks to Georgia, and they set them up that way, and they carved words into them. This isn't the Ten Commandments, folks. Okay, this isn't working.
It was a counterfeit. Okay, so granite stone, and each of these stones are 19 feet 3 inches tall. It's not like
is that
you
significant.
You know, just. Well, in Luciferian numbers, 19 is like a really, really major power number. And if you look at the symbols and the wording, because there's 8 languages of the world, and each of these stones on either side of the stone is a language, and all written, and they say the same thing. And if you look into the history of all these symbols and stuff, you'll find that it is eugenics, which has been since the 1800s. It was brought over here from, you know, Russia, the thought. And then if anybody is familiar, obviously, with Hitler and the Holocaust and his history, he was majorly into eugenics, which is why he was trying to create the perfect Aryan race. Because eugenics, their whole thing is about improving the gene pool of humanity, so that the best is allowed to procreate, and the rest are forced sterilizations or just kill them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much for diversity.
Thank you. You know, and only those, you know, who are higher up and enlightened in the eugenic circle are the ones who can decide who's worth, you know, procreating
well,
who is not.
Of course. That's, you take any dictatorship, they're always convinced that they're right, that everybody else is wrong,
yep.
And that their methods are okay. And if they kill a million people, well, that's justified because, you know, those people are counter-revolutionary or whatever term they use for it. The globalists, you know, will kill off anybody who's not a globalist. You know, it's that's
well,
the difference between freedom
yes.
and control. You know, the individual says, I'm just going to control myself. The rest of you people do what you want. You know, and, but the dictator, the left, you know, I have to control everybody. It's bizarre. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And all the elitists, by the way, believe in eugenics. And the very first thing that is on the guidestone is the first point is maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature.
Hmm.
So
COVID
we're
shots.
Already at 8 billion in the world, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So think about that. And Ted Turner said that about if we reduce the population by about 95%, that will be, you know, ideal. Now, let's think about this because the story of the Guidestone says that a guy named who called himself R.C. Christian walked into this granite place and said, I want these stones made.
Yeah.
And nobody could ever find out who R.C. Christian was until a lot more people started doing digging. And it turns out that the majority you know, people believe that it was Ted Turner himself who went in and ordered these things. Now, if you think about it, back in 1980, and he probably still does. He owns a lot of land in the Southeast. So I'm assuming it was his 5-acre pasture.
Does he have a granite quarry?
He can do what he wants on his land.
I mean, does he have a granite quarry? Does he have a granite quarry? I mean, just curious.
No. Uh-uh. He just you know, walked into a granite place and said, I want these stones made. And the guy who owns the granite shop said he threw out this ridiculous figure thinking, you know, he's not going to want this done and didn't even blink an eye and said, sure, get it done.
Yeah.
So if he owns the pasture and he owns, you know, and he paid for the granite stones, he can and he obviously has a crew to do whatever he wants at the snap of his fingers. He could have it erected overnight. And it was put up overnight, by the way. So.
Boy, talk about self-aggrandizing, self-promotion, you know, it's, you know, self-love into the obsession point of view. I'm going to put up, you know, my modern Stonehenge. I'm going to declare. But this is, here's the other thing, too, these eugenicists, these arrogant people that think that it's within their power to cut, you know, the world population by 90-95%, whatever, you know, and they call themselves environmentalists. I mean, Jacques Cousteau was on board with this. That's why I stopped watching his specials.
Yeah.
You know, it's a horrible thing to talk about killing the world's population, but it's a horrible thing we're all going to die? No, we're doing fine. You know, I mean, first it was winter, you know, global cooling is going to kill us. You know, global warming is going to kill us. There's always some, you know, doom and gloom prediction, and it just never happened. Halley's Comet's going to hit the Earth. We're all going to die. We're all going to die, 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 die. You know, it's like Star Trek. Yeah. Die, die, die. Okay. Come on, guys. Get over it. You're not in control of the universe. You're not in control of the world. You're not in control of the temperature. You're not in control of the climate. You're just one person who's very loud with a lot of money. That doesn't make you God. Get over it.
Yeah, when Mother Nature – hello, Wendy. How you doing? When good old Mother Earth decided that some things need to be changed. She'll change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you
something. Why is the summer
God
hot?
Is...
You know, because the summer's hot because the summer's hot. I mean, that's the reason it's hot. It's hot because it's hot this year. You know, whatever.
Well, in fact,
there's probably going to be a lot of hurricanes next year because we need to cool. So that's what hurricanes, they cool the earth by taking the heat from the equator and moving it up to the North Pole. That's what hurricanes are for. Okay? There's a cycle to all this, folks. It's very easily explainable. Go ahead.
Volcano eruptions too. When good old Mother Earth decided that there needs to be a change, she just calls for volcano eruptions, which will, you know, spew up into the atmosphere, which will block out the sun. We're going to have a massive cooling, and a lot of people are going to die. I mean, that's just the way things are.
Well, Krakatoa. Well, actually, Krakatoa did that in the 1800s. Krakatoa, east of Java. You know, I mean, this mountain blew, this volcano blew, and the earth was darker, and seasons were cooler, and growing was shorter, and all kinds of things. We survived it, you know. But, you know, the end of the world is that's not for us to decide. It just doesn't work that way.
Then you got another thing going on that's called natural selection. I mean, that occurs when one group traveled to another part of the world and met another group. They passed on diseases that killed off a bunch on both sides, and whoever left was due to natural selection, and then they were stronger, and you have what you have.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting, though, just to get back to Wendy, what we're really having here, this is a good point, Bianchi, because what we have, what eugenics is unnatural selection. It's like, we're not going to make the choice.
Exactly.
We're not going to leave it up to God and nature and random chance and all the things that make life, you know, interesting and fun and truly diverse. They're going to say, we're going to decide. We are going to decide what people know. We are going to decide what people think. We are going to decide who breeds. You know, we are going to decide what the world population is. And anytime you have central planning, we know how that works in communist countries. You know, and they become their own gods again. It really comes back to people becoming their own gods and taking their own propaganda seriously. And they're just morons. The more, you know, the more they get into this, the more stupid they become. It's really quite interesting. Anyway, back to Ted Turner's, you know, memorial to himself.
Well, there's the other guide, you know, what they call their guide stones or guideline on there. But I thought that was very interesting because along with the eugenics crowd, mm-hmm. There is something called the Theosophical Society that was also brought over here from Russia in the 1800s. And I just thought it was very interesting when I looked at their symbol, because it says that their motto is there is no religion higher than truth. Yet, if you look at the Guidestone symbol, okay, it is the Jewish star with the symbol of man in the middle of that,
right,
surrounded by a snake, with the Nazi symbol on top of the circle of the snake. So,
oh boy, this is
like,
deep. That's a whole show right there.
And yes, and basically, the Theosophical Society believes in everything that eugenics people do, but they get around the killing off of people as a bad thing by bringing in Hindu and Buddha philosophy about reincarnation. So it's not really bad if you kill them because they get another chance. You know?
Yeah, but as a cockroach, do you think people come back as world leaders? No. You know, it's like, why does nobody ever have a past life as a peasant? Everybody's past life is always royalty. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. They also believe that, well, they totally reject Christ, period. Mm-hmm. But
well, competition.
They believe that
they don't want the competition.
Yeah, that they themselves, that man is God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that humans in a physical body and their spirit body and soul consciousness are like a pre-existent eternal portion of God. And so that over time, they're ultimately absorbed into the fullness of the it. If you know anything about Buddhism and Hindu philosophy, it's the invisible it is what they call God. And then when you die, you just become absorbed into the universe and part of it. And so that, and every time that you get reincarnated, you just become more and more it until eventually you come back as God. Okay. So,
no, this is interesting. It would be worth spending some time on Hindu and Buddhist, religions and philosophy, just because. You'd be interesting to know that, because what they're saying is that you don't have a soul and you don't have a spirit that goes to heaven. This is a completely different viewpoint. You know, you just get returned and recycled. It's sort of like, you know, environmentalism meets religion. You know, it's, oh, we're recycling people. Now we're recycling souls. Well, really? Then
well,
that defies the whole idea of being an independent and unique soul, right?
See how that gives them permission to kill people because it doesn't really matter because they get another chance?
Oh, sure. Well, here's the other thing too.
So,
if you talk about, you know, the only true religion is truth, then the person that determines the truth also determines the religion. I mean, that's just pure control. If you look at it that way,
it is.
Right? Okay.
Yes. Hmm. So it's just and the second point under the maintaining humanity at 500 million, it says guide production wisely, improving fitness and diversity.
Communist manifesto. It's Reddit. That's like Communist Manifesto 101 right there. It's almost the same. It's almost a paraphrase. Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Sanger, you know, Planned Parenthood founder.
Negro Project. Yep.
Who, mm-hmm. Yeah. Who, you know, didn't want it known that she really, you know, wanted the entire black race, you know, killed off So, you know, if, and matter of fact, if you look, you know, most Planned Parenthood, you know, places are not in upscale white neighborhoods. So
no,
it's still,
they're not at the country
no.
club. Oh my goodness!
No,
they don't have recruiters at the prom.
No.
I'm shocked.
So.
That's why I'm shocked.
I know, but she was a eugenics person. She was a eugenicist.
Mm-hmm.
All these different people were all majorly into eugenics. So anybody who wants to kill off a portion of any race at all, whether it be the Jews and the blacks, I don't know why they're targeted so much, but and she even looked down upon Latin people, but not near as many. She didn't want to kill them all off. She just didn't want them to taint the gene pool. So, but she wanted blacks to be killed off, period. It's just, if you go and read her stuff, it's just scary. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, are there any pictures with Margaret Sanger and Hitler, for example? I mean, that'd be a great thing to put in front of Planned Parenthood offices. Just, you know, hey.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill Gates is also a big eugenicist, and Ted Turner, all the elites, Soros, all of them.
Of course they are, because there's something about making $1 billion that you think you control the universe. You know, they think that money, you know, brings knowledge, and it doesn't. Or money brings, you know, wisdom is probably a better way to express it. They think there's a connection between money and wisdom. And the more money you have, the more wisdom you have. Therefore, the more control you should have over humanity. It's like Plato, you know, based on, instead of rule by the good, Plato based on rule by the rich. So we have a monetocracy. Yeah. Ooh, do you like that? Monetocracy? A money autocracy? I just made that up. Monetocracy.
Yeah, I think you need
to. But you know, you have to.
Go ahead, Bianca. And then I got a, we have a new caller. I mean, I'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah, go ahead.
You have to also know, too, that in every ethnic group, no matter what their skin color, you have your Margaret Sanger and your Clarence Gamble from Procter & Gamble.
Mm-hmm.
And that wants to eliminate those that they don't like. And it goes on. It goes on amongst blacks, too.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, they're black eugenicists. Anybody can be a eugenicist. I want to try something new. We've got, because I'm hoping to have a call screener producer come on at some point here fairly soon, actually. But for our new person who just called the show, who has not called before, go to live chat. Set up a live chat account. Tell me what you want to talk about, and then I can make you live. So I'm going to use that as my new call screening function. So 904 area code. Just get yourself and go to the bottom of the broadcast page. Get yourself a live account, and tell me what you want to talk about. And then we'll get you on the show. All right, back to Wendy.
Okay. One point I wanted to make is that the prophets have been talking about destruction of certain monuments and symbols across the nation and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie Green, who is an extremely accurate prophet, she, on March 11th, she had given a prophecy that the Lord had said he was going to start dealing with monuments and symbols, that especially dealing with killing off people, because God created people and you're messing with his creation, and he loves people. I mean, just loves people. And if you absolutely are intent on destroying what he created and loves, then, you know, you're not going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was really interesting that she had mentioned the Washington Monument, as a matter of fact. So keep an eye on that.
Well, that's a favorite symbol of the people that don't like the Masons or any of the other stuff, you know, or especially the Freemasons. You know, there's like those that, you know, our founders, a lot of them were Freemason Christians. And a lot of people object to that. So that's another show, too.
It is, because it's mutually exclusive, and you can't say Freemason Christians, but yeah, well, you can, but
okay.
it's mutually exclusive.
Okay, well, then we should clear that up then. You know, if I misspoke and mischaracterized, then that's why I have all you bright people on the show. Yeah, no, it's good. It makes sense, yeah.
What Mike wants to say something, what?
Washington Monument, there's that replica inside of Vatican City in Rome.
Yeah.
And lightning
Where?
Struck it.
That's true.
I've been to the Vatican. Where?
The
I missed
Washington
that. I don't remember
Monument.
Seeing that.
Yeah, inside Vatican City, there is another version of the Washington Monument. Yeah, we made ours as a mirror of that. And it just got struck by lightning.
Oh, it did?
And that one in And that one is Vatican City, stolen from Egypt. That's called a tekenu. It's a tekenu. It's a symbolic to the resurrection is what it is. Actually, it's a symbolic to the story of Osar and his resurrection.
Well, and it's also reported to be a symbol of the Asherah, which we won't
There's another one
on
there
the show,
in Aswan. There's another one there in Aswan that was going to be maybe not as tall as the Washington, but it's laying on its ground. It's laying where they was quarrying it out, and it cracked, so they abandoned it. It's there today.
That's interesting. That'd be cool to see the
pictures
of that. Did you really?
Yes.
Wow, that was kind of cool. Well, did you take any pictures of it when you were there? And
oh, it's thousands of pictures out there on it. But no, it's a very engineer's feat how they used to stand those up. But that area is so hot, the temperatures there can get up to 146 degrees.
Oh, good.
Fair
enough.
Well, it always looks like something out of Egypt. That's what I was wondering about the Washington Monument, because you watched Charlton Heston playing Ben-Hur, you know, when he's building Egypt for Pharaoh, I forgot his name, the actor, you know, Yul Brynner, right? And you see them, they tilt up this big stone and the whole bit, and you're seeing yourself, and how did this end up in Washington? This does not look like an American symbol, you know, so you know it's from somewhere else. I mean, and symbols are fascinating the way these things work, I think.
Yes. Yeah, and you're right, and that symbols of different things all across the world would be a cool show to do. But anyway, back to the prophecy thing, I just want just keep an eye on the Washington Monument, keep an eye on Statue of Liberty, and different things across the nation, symbols and monuments, because if it is anything to do with against God's creation and His law, it's fixing to have a problem.
Yeah, and like I said, the symbolism is fascinating. To me, this looks like the Stonehenge with the Druids, and that's what I think that Ted Turner is trying to go back to. And we didn't really touch on that. We may want to pick this up a little bit next week too, and the rest of the prophecies. We get carried away. you think you're going to spend a half hour on one topic? No, we're going to get like a tenth of it. We're going to keep going. But
that's
that's how good, because I like to explore things in detail. But is that onto something here, where this is a copy of Stonehenge, trying to bring all the reverence and Druid mess, if that's a word, to Ted Turner's, I'm a Druid, I'm an old soul. I go back thousands of years in my own mind, in the legend that is me, and I'm going to create, the Georgia Satellites. Wait a minute, that's a rock band. You know what I mean? But the Georgia Stonehenge, and here I am. Look at me. What have I done? I'm like the Ten Commandments and Moses. Look what I've done for the world. Aren't I wonderful? This is what it looks like to me.
I can't say that you're wrong. I'm just saying, I'm just reporting what I found out in my research.
Okay, no, it makes sense. Yeah, this is great. All right, I'm going to try an experiment here. Let me try my caller who has not checked in on the live chat yet. Obviously, that experiment didn't work.
Okay.
Let's 904 Erica. We'll give them a chance to say something, either say something good or be banned from the show forever. 904 Erica, what would you like to add to this? Now's your chance. Going once, going twice.
Hello.
Yep. Saying nothing is as good as putting you back on mute. Okay, back on mute. Had your chance. See, I try. I offer them the live chat, to explain what they want to talk about. I offer all this stuff, and now they go on to the listener list. In other words, they'll be listed in my call record as a listener rather than a caller. So this is why, we're serious about this show. Chancy, welcome to the show. You want to say hi to Wendy and check in on your opinion of the Georgia Stonehenge?
Hey, yeah, I don't know anything about it. Like the Georgia Guidestone thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Her Southern accent, folks that missed that, it came out Guidestone. that's her Southern accent. She really meant to say Guidestone.
Definitely more and more happening, for sure. I just don't know what. Yeah, and that's, again, what are they distracting us from? So,
yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
I hope you have a great report, Chancy. I know you will. And so I won't take up any more of your time. And thank you for letting me share this morning, Greg. I appreciate it. And thank you.
I love having you on. Do you have any contact information you want to share?
You can get a hold of me under Wendy Arthur on Facebook or Art by Wendy Arthur on Facebook or Dimensions Ministries. And I'll see y'all later.
Sounds good. Thanks, Wendy. Let's get to Chancy. What is health? What does it take to stay healthy? We have a longer lifespan than 100 years ago, but is the quality of life any better? 100 years ago, their food was better. They got more exercise. They weren't as fat. They didn't have preservatives, antidepressants, sugar in everything, and they didn't have vaccines. If you talk about alternative healthcare, people think of crystals, incense, strange candles, crystal balls, Ouija boards, notions, potions, lotions, and total hippies telling you to detox, man. So let's change our system of sick care into wellness. Let's get healthy. Let's lower our stress, stop taking in poisons, eat and drink organic, clean food, and let's have a chat with Chancy Terry, because this is Wine, Weed, and Wellness Wednesday. Yeah, I give it to you because you're the only one here from the panel. Lindsay was earlier, and Paige can't make it today, so I play your theme once again. I like that theme. I got to adapt it or make a new one for the whole panel. So, Chancy, what's going on, darling? What's happening?
Not much. I knew we had discussed, and I'm grateful for you allowing me just to have, you know, a quick little show today. Life happened to all of us, and apparently it's happened to Lindsay and Paige as well. And
yeah, all three of you at the same time? What, is this like the planet
or
something?
I know. I think it's just meant for you to have your own show, like, for again and again and again.
I already have my
so
own show.
So that you have time to talk. I meant
I
by yourself.
Time to talk.
I'm kidding.
I have you guys on so that I don't have to talk all the time.
I know. And it's pouring down rain, so I hope that if you can hear that, I'm sorry. But wanted to get on here real quick and talk about frequency. We're dealing with basically a war on frequency, and we've been dealing with it for a long time with just changing atmosphere and all kinds of stuff going up into the universe of satellites and changing things. And I think, you know, who knows if that's what took down the Guidestones was a, you know, drone with a laser on it. We'll never know. So with our bodies, we hold a certain frequency all the time. And the only way to measure that would be to put on something that measured your frequency. But there have been studies where certain things are going on with people and they'll measure their frequency and then it lowers it to X frequency. So the studies have been shown, like with cancer, it's a lower frequency. With diabetes, it's a lower frequency. So it's like people that win the lottery, their frequency is high. People that, you know, after you have a baby and you love that child, your frequency is higher. So everything in, on, and around us affects our frequency. And so with essential oils, they've studied how to raise your frequency to that emotion, to that feeling without actually having to feel that feeling, because sometimes we can't. Sometimes we're so sad that we can't feel joy. Sometimes we're so angry that we can't feel happiness. And so I'm really big into matching the frequency of the oil with what the person needs. And so I just wanted,
I just got to hold you for a second because we're getting a little background noise. I don't know if that's you or whether you're, driving
rain,
or something.
Rain, because it is.
Oh, that's the rain? Okay, all right, yeah. So
down rain.
Pouring?
Yeah, it is monsoon.
Yeah, it was raining here earlier.
Yeah, it's like pouring down rain. Yeah, so it's hitting the windshield really hard. Yeah.
Okay, got it. That makes sense. All right, so frequency.
Lindsay
was talking about the same thing. No, don't be sorry. So you can't stop the rain, Who'll stop the rain? John Fogerty.
Yes.
Creedence
yes.
Clearwater Revival. How to play appropriate music on
yes.
heaven. All right. So here's my question, though, because Lindsay was talking about the same thing. So when we talk about frequency as a measure of physics is the amount of times that a wave, cycles per second. That's what a frequency is. All right. So in other words, the recurrence, how often this happens. And so frequencies can be measured. There are radio waves. There are visible light waves. There are all different ways like that. So this is kind of a technical question, but do human beings physically vibrate at a particular frequency, can that be measured? Is that on the electromagnetic spectrum somewhere between AM and FM? I mean, where is this? This is a fascinating topic to me. So, of course, I'm curious. So tell me what you know.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, is our frequency can be measured. So the most healthiest version of a human frequency is like 68 to 72, or 62 to 78 is where a healthy human being runs per study of scanning people and figuring it out. But 62 to 78 hertz is the magic frequency. And once you start going below that, that's where you can start to see disease or emotional stress or just any kind of different sicknesses. And then once you go above 78, they say you're happy, healthy, and whole, and that you can fight off other diseases because your frequency is so high that if something hit you. But then you have to look at chewing your food, digesting your food. It lowers your frequency sometimes up to 20%, 20 hertz, depending on what you're eating. So they've done studies with that, like, you know, fast food lowers it more than a banana or a head of lettuce or something natural grown from the earth. So our bodies are constantly in a flux of frequency. And so a lot of people ask me how I got to where I was on my health journey, and I didn't even pay attention, but it was because I was using oils every day, all day. So no matter what was going on internally in my body, I was kind of staying at this, like, I'm good, you know, but no bad things would happen and then my body would still be okay. So, and I still credit that today, that if I do get sick or if something does happen, that I raise my frequency faster than normal of waiting for the body to do it itself, and or having to find enough food to put in it to raise the frequency and all that. But it's what you surround yourself with. So it's people's frequency. We feed off of each other's frequency. And that's what, I don't know if Lindsay was talking about ivermectin. I don't know what she was talking about, but I'll go back and listen. But that's what me and Lindsay were hoping to do for Ivermectin Day, is like, what is the frequency of ivermectin? And then find that frequency in other things. I don't know it. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. So Ivermectin Day is the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd. So we were trying to do something before then. So I think that would be cool if we could. But if not, we'll do it eventually. But you can, you need somebody that has a hertz measurer to decide what the frequency is.
Can you do that in your practice, or do you know folks around here that actually can measure our frequencies?
No, I don't, but I'm sure there is somebody. So, and I'm sure there's a machine somewhere.
Let's make that a project. Let's see if we can find something like that. Pianki, yeah, go ahead. What's your question or comment?
Pianki? CIA.
What did you say?
It's called your bio signature. You know, there was a movie out. What was it? Enemy of the State. I think Will Smith played in it.
Yeah, Gene Hackman. Yeah.
And they could see where he was and see everybody else. So they have.
Well, they tracked
probably,
his cell phone.
I know China is probably ahead of many nations with this. But your body does put out your own particular bio signature, just like anything else in the universe does. When a planet explodes, physically it's not there anymore, but it left a signature that will remain for quite some time. You go to McDonald's, order coffee, and sit down at a table, you don't have to even touch the table. Just sit there. When you leave, you leave an aura there that would last for a period of time. They can tell who you were based on the fact that you don't leave your COVID swab. They got your DNA.
That's exactly right.
Well, let me ask something that we asked. We talked about this yesterday on the show, the dangers of Wi-Fi, the radiation from cell phones. There's a couple of big articles in Children's Health Defense, and Pianki and I were talking about this yesterday in very great detail as to how dangerous these things are. Is the extra electromagnetic radiation, or just the radiation from a cell phone, is that changing or messing up our frequencies? Do you know any research on that?
1,000%.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah.
Tell me.
And so
especially,
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't have to know. I just know. But the being put up to your head and put up to your brain and put up to the frequency that you're emitting, and then it emits its own frequency, so it's destroying your frequency. And then they've even came out and said that now in your phone, like, it tells you not to put it up to your head, but we put it up to our head. Like, there's a, like,
I
in
don't.
Your security and well, I know we as in a whole people, a universe. So people put it up to their head, and then you probably do talk on the phone to someone at some point with it up to your ear, but maybe you don't. Maybe you're on speakerphone all the time.
I don't.
You're
I've
one of those people that we can't stand.
Well, yeah. I know, but so, I learned a long time ago. I had a friend who was in PR and high tech. This is back in the 80s, you know, when this stuff was first getting going. And she says, look, don't put those cell phones up to your head. Use the earbuds. Use whatever you can. And whenever you hear me do the show, when the microphone quits or something happens to the show and I'm calling in by cell phone, that cell phone is sitting on about four books, one of them being the complete guide to flight instruction. But I don't touch it. I don't.
Yeah,
you know, I don't handle it much.
Be,
you know, it's off if it's in my pocket, unless I absolutely have to have it on. And if it's on, I put my wallet, which is about half inch thick, you know, between the cell phone and my body. So I'm getting my minimum 5 to 15 millimeter separation, which is what they recommend.
Right.
Yeah, no, don't you hate people like me?
You're
yeah.
one of the only ones. Yeah,
I know.
That's what I mean. Yeah, so, and that's where we're at, is that, you know, they're creating these things left and right, and they're making them stronger and stronger, and then they're making them more convenient and more convenient, so we carry them around more and more.
For who?
And then really, the stronger they are, you know, the worse they are on our bodies. So, but there are things that you can put on them that negate the effect of the frequency. There's been studies of that. Like, there's little stickers, and even stickers work. Like, it's wild to see a sticker work, but there's, you know, you have to trust the company and you have to do your research, but it kind of pushes the frequency back into the phone, and they say that even work better because it's not emitting it out. It's like staying right there with the phone.
Well, you could do a counter.
So there's all kinds of things that you can do.
You know, well, let me explore a couple of ideas with you then. Because, you know, if you know how a noise-canceling headset works, right, the reason that it's able to cancel the noise, it sends out the opposite wave. So if you have a sine wave, S-I-N-E, and you send out a cosine wave so that the peaks and valleys are opposite each other, you actually cancel out that wave and you don't hear that sound. It cancels it out. In the same way, could you create a counter phone wave that actually counters the radiation of the cell phone, so it's actually not emitting radiation at all, or it's being canceled by a reverse wave being emitted at the same time? Bianca?
Yes, and I'm pretty sure that's what... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, another thing, too, the reason why come you can hear Wendy and Greg, your voice, on an FM frequency, you know, like, say, 910, and you can also hear it on the FM frequency radio, let's say like 90.8, is because your voice is about 400 hertz, and it rides along on that frequency. And the frequencies have a wavelength. That's how they are measured, by the length of their wave, which is for the time it takes to go away and come back, and how many times it does that in a second. The shorter the wavelength, the more penetration it has. The longer the wavelength, well, the further it can travel.
So that's how
now, one
work.
Of these things
are going
to be to
see
you and your person. You want to be able to descramble your DNA and your molecules and send you across the nation like that, and you appear in somebody's living room.
Oh, a hologram. That's interesting. I want to get back to the question, though. Chancey, do you think that we should either we can or should have technology on these cell phones that are self-canceling, that cancel the radiation that they're sending out with, like, an opposite wave?
Yeah, they have them. Yeah, it's like they have, like, phone cases. Yeah, they have phone cases and stickers that you put on your actual phone that negate the wave of the phone. And then, yes, the answer to the further question is that all phones should come with it. So, but you have to purchase it outside of your phone, because that's another thing that they want you to do.
So where do I find one? This is new.
Oh, there's a million of them. Yeah, it's the best one is probably going to be, oh, I just lost it. Something sleeve, safe sleeve.
$5.
Yeah,
like that.
And that's the thing too, is like, I love Amazon, and it's like, but now it's kind of like with the Yeti cup, like a bunch of people took the Yeti cup, cut it in half, and now they sell it for $9, and those are just as good as the Yeti cup most of the time, but you just need to be careful about what you're purchasing, and like, who, like, read reviews, actually see if there's a video of it being tested with a frequencyometer. Like, they'll have a thing and it'll show you. It'll be like, shows you with the case off and with the case on, and how it negates the radiation coming out. So there are a few, and then there's another Altera, A-U-L-T-E-R-R-A. I'll send you these if I need to. But I have all kinds of stuff, like, in my room. I have it on my phone. I have it because I'm on my phone a lot, and I'm in my room with other people's phones a lot, and it matters. So there's rocks that you can put in the corner. There's, like, magnetite, shungite, tourmaline. There's all these stones that do the same thing. They have the opposite frequency, and so if you keep that in your field or by your router or on your laptop, it's been proven to negate the effects of it. But again, you got to look at studies right here. And you got to see, you know, where people have been, like, videoing the thing. One of my neighbors, now that you say that, one of my neighbors has it's a frequency machine, but I don't know if it's for, I think it's just for EMS and Wi-Fi, because he got really into that. He used to work for NASA, and he's thinking the same thing. He's like, where are the hotspots at? And all the good things. But that's where, again, the most natural way to do that is essential oils. Like, you can create a roller blend that's the highest frequency possible, or you can wear something that's just a higher frequency all the time. And so no matter what you do.
How do they work?
What do you mean?
Essential oils, how do they work?
They hold the frequency of the plant. So it's just like we all have a frequency. A plant has a frequency. They take that plant, they distill it, and then it holds the frequency of that oil. It's more simplified than people want to think. They think that you have to, like, that you have to believe in them for them to work.
They work anyway?
You don't. They just work.
You know another?
Yeah. It's like medicine. Like, yeah. So it's like herbs and all the things. Like, if you take them in your body and your body uses them as real food medicine, they will do what they're supposed to do. You don't have to worship them or believe in them. Whereas sometimes pharmaceuticals are half placebo, and most people are just taking it because they think they're taking something and it's halfway working.
No, it makes
That's
sense.
Yeah, those parasites in your body, if you got an organ that's difficult, if you got an organ, a kidney or a liver or something, it will put out a frequency, and that parasite will all run to that and start attacking it because it's figuring, well, he's weak, let's get him.
Yes, and it's the same thing. They love Wi-Fi and EMF. They feed off of it. Like, there's videos of, like, mold being put right beside a router, and the mold just goes out of control because of the radiation just keeps growing and growing and growing, the fungus.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, too.
So,
like,
that's
I said,
in our
I keep
body.
My router away from me. I'm on an Ethernet. I don't have Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi is off on my computer. My cell phone is about 3 feet away from me right now. It's only there in case I need to use it, which I do because I don't want to tie up too many windows. So I have to use that for, texting and Facebook Messenger and things like that. So I'm trying to do the right things. But I could definitely use some tourmaline and some other stones around here to sort of do the negative things. You know, let's cast off some negative ions to sort of counter the positive ones. I'm going to be still healthy when you get through with me. It's going to be fascinating. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
I'll be like 90 years old doing action radio. You know, well, I want to tell you what's going on today. But I feel great.
A long time ago, they had a mouse repellent that was this machine you used to plug it up, and then you put out a frequency to keep the mice out your house. Essential oil. Mice don't like peppermint. So people smear peppermint, and they wouldn't go near it.
Yes, and I think it has to do, like, with that frequency,
Well, let me throw out a theory for you here, because I'm practicing guitar a whole lot more because I'm trying to get another band together. You know, I've been trying for 40 years. I don't give up easily. That's okay, But here's what I found out, though. I've been playing a lot the last, 6-8 months. But what's interesting, and I posted this on Facebook, that I've only had one palmetto bug. We get these big cockroaches here. Not as big as my own. Most things can carry away small children. But I've only had one bug in my place this summer. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, are they, like, all sitting outside, you know, eating popcorn and listening to me? Or is the sound literally, because I like my volume. My 30-watt PV Classic has to get to a certain level before it starts to really sound good, before the tubes heat up. And, boy, I'm, like, grooving on the frequency, all right? And because music is frequency. But I'm wondering
it is.
If the bugs don't like A, my playing, or B, the sound of the amplifier as it radiates to the
Yeah, they don't
the
like, yeah,
head.
It's that vibration. And that's the thing, they have those things to plug in, and it's what Pianki's probably talking about. Like when we bought our shop, it had two or three of them plugged in, and I'm like, what are these things? But they're putting off a lower frequency that you can't hear, and it's supposed to get rodents run from it. Like, we can't hear it, but they run from it. And I was like, oh, I don't want that in here. I don't know what that's doing to my frequency.
Well, no, because
they
did that. It's a weapon. There's a bioweapon. That's used at the embassies, like the Cuban embassy, and Americans are coming back with low frequency. And Australia did this too, their own protesters. I learned that from Jen Clark, because she's one of the freedom leaders, you know, when we wrote the Australian Bill of Rights. But, so these low, if it's too low frequency, I mean, the sound waves at too low a frequency, it's actually damaging. It does brain damage.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying walking
over
that.
And that's where it goes back to.
Yeah.
Well, and that is, I mean, you know, we could go down the rabbit hole of rock and roll. And then, because it's that whole thing where they've studied the concept of that. And, like, yes, sometimes your love for rock and roll does not negate the damage that it's doing, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't listen to rock and roll. It's just you do something to raise your frequency around
the
time that, you know.
You know, you figure rock and roll is a mid-range kind of thing, you know, because guitars and bass are fairly mid-range in the sound scale. The highest sound actually is the cymbals are at the highest frequency. People don't realize that.
Yes. Well, and it just, like I said, you know, people like to play it, though, at, I'm not talking about one person, but like in general, like in your car, if you're up in the 30s and 40s and you're banging your head and you're doing all the things and listening to rock and roll, yes, that's great. You're having a good time, but the effects of that on your organs is negative. So have fun, do it, but then do something to repair. Yeah.
How
and
that's
something like if you go to a concert, well, food, that's in, on and around food, essential oils, breath work, prayer, meditation, raising your frequency, doing something to educate yourself on what it takes to raise your frequency. And basically it's in, on, and around, which is what I always preach about.
Can music raise your frequency? Like, I don't play, I mean, I play at a decent volume, but I don't play, it's not earth shattering, deafening or anything. I mean, there's no, you know, my ears don't ring. I mean, it's not
music,
that, you know, but
I can
hear it.
Totally. Yeah. And it's mute, like Mozart, you know, so like people that are like in a rock and roll band, you see how long they live. Number one, it's probably cocaine and heroin that keeps them, like, I don't know, their heart stopping every 2 seconds. And then, you know what I mean? Like,
see,
you see these rock stars and they live
the music,
to be 90.
That's the lifestyle. That's a different argument.
I know. That's what I mean. And it's like, how do they live that long? So it's got to be the music, you know, like something's keeping them alive. And it's their love, their passion for music, and the frequency that they are around all the time, playing all the time,
otherwise
getting vagal tones. I mean, I'm like, how? Yeah, I'm like, I don't get it. Yeah, it blows my mind. But, you know, and then, but when you know frequency, you get it, because they can't, they're getting exercise to all of their organs, even if it's sometimes too much. Blood is flowing, lymph is flowing, they're dancing, they're running, they're jumping up and down, they're getting movement and exercise as that, and then also the vibrations of the instrument up against their body or up against their ear or up against, so it's all frequency. Frequency is the answer to all things, literally. And so if we can just get our base, which is that 62 to 78, and try to figure out how to stay there, the world will be a better place. But we're at, either people are in their 30s, frequency-wise, or they're like in the 110, and then they're wondering why they go to a function and everybody's mopey and dopey and they hate being there and it's miserable. And it's like, well, you've been working on your frequency, you know, probably, or you don't even realize it. That's the thing, is like people who eat, who do clean things and like change their body wash out and change their shampoo out, change all, to them, that might be normal, but you go to Walmart and you're surrounded by people who aren't doing that, and they look at you mean, or they're rude, or they're snappy, or the person checking you out is like, you know, not happy. It's like, well, duh, look at her frequency. Like, what is she doing all day, every day? She's under fluorescent lights, wearing, you know, a mask or
polyester clothing.
Some people have the ability to detect that. You know, you got bats.
Yes.
They have radar sitting that they can send out. But the one animal that's probably outstanding more so than any other mammal, and that's the elephant.
Ooh, yeah.
Their stories where a herd of elephants that was friendly to a person in a village, and when that person died, that herd of elephants, wherever they were, all marched in a single file line to give their tribute to that person, even though he was dead. They knew he was dead.
Yeah, they feel frequency so much, and so do horses. Horses are like that. Like, one horse can die, and they'll have a funeral for it. They'll surround it, and, like, it's that, it's just, they just feel. They feel like human things. Yeah. And I saw a meme the other day, to go funny, that a elephant doesn't get control of its trunk for, like, I don't know how long, but, like, that's why you see babies just flailing their trunk around, and it's, like, going everywhere, and it's because that the nerves in the trunk and stuff take a while to get settled to where they can control it and keep it down. And I was like, that is so funny. Like, you think they're doing it just to have fun and play around with it, but, like, it's literally a limb of their body that is trying to figure itself out. It's like us trying to figure out how to use our hands and feet. So
interesting. Yeah.
Look at the size of
I've heard
feet.
From animals.
They can hear you coming miles off.
Oh, the elephants can? Yeah. Bianchi?
Can hear you coming miles off.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the vibration of the ground. That's how they do it.
Yeah,
they're so sensitive.
I've heard from people that work with animals. They say that there's two kinds of animals. There's animals and there's elephants. They're just like a separate, completely separate, thing. And which goes to my point that I've always said that animals, you know, if they could, you know, if they had thumbs and they could set up houses and they'd be hunting us, you know, they live in an environment where they have to adapt themselves to it. I don't think animals choose to be predator or prey. I think that's just the way it was all set up. But if given the option, you know, look at dolphins. I thought that's where Priyanka was going to go. But you want to talk about an entire society based on sound, you know, because they can't see that well in the water. But, you know, you got a whole society that communicates by sound and with clicks and things.
Yeah.
It's an entire language that we're still trying to decipher. And so the miracles that are here everywhere that people discount, you know, they discount horses and they discount elephants. And that was just ivory, man. It's money. You know, you ignorant fools.
Yeah.
And there's so much ignorance out there. It's the things that people don't know is really scary. But
it is.
Huh. Okay.
That was the gist of what I wanted people to understand is that there is a simple way out there. And it, what you're like, if you don't think you got it right now and you're like, well, life is just too hard, I don't know what to do, just start working on your frequency. Start looking at what you're putting in your body, on your body, and who you're surrounding yourself with, and you'll start to feel it. And like Bianchi was saying, like, that's what me, Paige, and Lindsay and many others, like, we feel other people's frequency, and then that's what we try to do. We try to help them raise their frequency. And sometimes it just takes that, how do you know? And sometimes we don't know how we know sometimes. It's just an inner knowing.
Well, that was my question.
Can you
literally feel that someone walks into a room? You know, and they say that people light up a room. I mean, that's probably their frequency.
Yes.
There are those that take up more space than their body. You know, that's
yes.
an expression. So I think people are intuitively in tune with this, but they don't really understand it. So why does a person, you know, why, you know, if Donald Trump walks into a room, it's different than, you know, me. It's just, but there's certain people that, you know, my father, for example, was someone that took up space like you wouldn't believe. He took far more space than he physically occupied. He was just one of those people. And you could tell from what frequency he was at.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating. This actually makes a lot of sense. Especially
that's where we are.
Yeah, go ahead, Bianchi.
You know, another animal that can tell is a dog. If you got cancer in a spot in your body, he'd come up, sniff it, and lick it.
We used to have a friend that trained cancer dogs diabetic dogs. So it was like these people would buy these certain dogs for their children who were type 1 or just diabetics or even older people, but it was more for children. And it was to detect when their sugar was elevated in their sleep because they couldn't tell and they were having to think. And so they would train the dog by letting the kid hold like a Q-tip or a cotton ball in its mouth and then getting that glucose and then letting the dog smell it all during like the training, like of different levels of glucose. And then that dog could point out, that dog knew when the glucose was raising in the child. That's how it was trained. So it's a smell, it's a frequency. It was like all the things. It's insane, like how smart dogs are. But they're man's best friend. Yeah, we all need one.
Yeah. So yeah. Human beings have a lot of power that they don't know how to use. And I think, yes. And they, in the brain, it's a miracle the things that the brain can do that we don't understand. Because even when you're sick, if you are in tune with your body, you will know what type of sickness that you have and where it's at. And
right.
you should be able to attend to it. But that there should be another lesson that needs to be taught, especially to young people.
Yes. Well, and Bianchi, I think last week it was like that was me. I'm pretty sure I had COVID. And so I was listening to my body and having to, you know, reschedule clients and not talk so much and do all the things. And to other people, that sounds like, oh, just push through, or just, well, you sound fine, or you look fine. And I'm like, yeah, but I know what's going on inside my body. Like, I feel it. I know that I'm getting sick. I know I have a virus. I know that if I push this, it's going to get worse. Well, those are the people. And then the other side of that are the people who are like, oh, it's fine, I'm good. And then they just take some cold medicine and they go to work. And then they take some cough medicine and they go to work. And then they take a cough syrup and they go to work. And so then their body never truly heals. You're just pushing it back down, pushing it back down. Then that's when you have like this episode of like, I cannot get out of bed. I cannot go to work. So society has made it too much of like, when we say no, we're looked at as weak. Or when we tell people we can't do that, or we don't think that that's right for us right now, we look like we're not doing enough, or, oh, you should just keep going. And so it's that whole mentality of getting people to understand, no, like, this is my body. It's the only one I have. And when you start to learn and be empowered by using it, it doesn't matter what other people see. Then you can see the ones that you need to help see themselves. And that's where I try to help you see yourself. Yes, it shows you on every level.
If something comes on you, and especially if it's something terrible, like they talk about this monkey foot, your organ, your body will tell your brain, hey, we need some more battalions over here. Well, your brain said, well, if I give you any more, this guy won't be able to walk. I don't care. Get us some reinforcement and go to try to get up.
Yeah.
You can't get up because it has sent those reinforcements over to fight whatever the heck it is in your stomach or wherever that needs to be fought off.
Right. And then that's the thing is, if you're not feeding it good things, it doesn't have good workers. There's no worker bees. Like, you're out. You're depleted. And that's where supplementation, herbal elixirs, essential oils, those things are plant-based medicine. And they are to help you get to that point to where you can turn on your healing abilities again. Because we have to admit, we do not eat all the things that we should eat. We do not drink all the water that we should drink. We're healthy, the ones that try, but then there's some people who are walking around with zero nutrition. And so then when they get sick, there is no, like, reserve. There is no battalion. They're just sitting there in the barracks hanging out, eating Cheetos. So, yeah, they're waiting on something like, well, I mean, if you'll give us some energy, we'll use it, but we don't have any right now. So what you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Well, it gets worse because let's say they'll drink coffee because the cough medicine makes them drowsy, and they want to fight the drowsiness because they have no reserves. So then they drink coffee. And so now you're what I call the accelerator and brake theory. You know, you're standing on the accelerator and the brake at the same time and wondering why you're not going anywhere. Well, that's why.
And it's
even
DayQuil and NyQuil.
Yeah.
It's like they create those double packs of DayQuil and NyQuil so that you can, you know, take NyQuil at night, and then when you get up in the morning, take DayQuil, and we'll just keep you. Yeah, we'll keep you on this spiral of sickness for as long as the bottle lasts. And then you'll go to the doctor after.
I never heard of DayQuil.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's DayQuil. And it's. I think it has a little bit of caffeine in it. I'm not sure. But it has, it doesn't have the nighttime, like, sleepy stuff in it. And then there's ZQuil that you can just take because you want to go to sleep. And, you know, like, just take something. I'm not sleeping good, so let me just take a drug. But anyways, I love y'all, and I thank y'all for having me on.
You have a big lunch and have to go back to the office?
Like a snack. Yeah, a snack. That's the way it needs to be. Yeah, yeah, a snack will.
Yeah.
And Bianchi, thank you for being on. I've missed your voice. It's good to hear you.
It's always good to hear you. You one of my scheduled guests that I just have to make sure I'm here.
We are so sweet, and I love having those kind of things, and that's why it also tears me up sometimes. I'm like, why does life have to be? But it's I'm like that. I let things get in, and then I reschedule things, and so we're learning. We're all on a journey, and we're trying to make it work. So
hey,
just
we're
keep
still here.
Working on your frequency.
Action Radio's
I
still
know.
Here. You know, you just call in. There's always another week. We never cover everything
right.
that everybody wants to cover. And it's just, you know, it's,
no,
people, it's that's a funny thing. People get on such schedules. I have to cover this today. Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's always next week. I think we covered, one of the Georgia satellite stone, you know, things that Wendy was talking about. It was like nine more to go or something like that. We'll get there.
Nine more to go.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Like
but yeah, and so just reach out to me. I'm chancyterry.com, chancyterry.com, and I love putting oils together for people. I love getting people on the oily path and just starting their journey and just using them. We can go down the brand, but we're not. But like just the fact that you know that you're getting a good source and that you're using it. So it's like buying Walmart supplements versus getting them from straight from the source. So please reach out to me. I'm happy to help you raise your frequency, and y'all have a beautiful Wednesday. The sun has finally came out and it has stopped raining.
Yeah. Well, see what happens when you come on the show. You brighten everybody's day.
Yes. I brighten everybody's day. I brighten the room. It's my frequency. You can feel it over the radio wave.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah. I know, right? All right. I love y'all. Y'all have a beautiful day.
Thanks,
Greg.
You
Take
too.
Care.
You're very
All
welcome.
Right. Bye-bye.
You're beautiful.
Thanks.
Goodbye now.
Yes, sir. Right. Take care.
Well, I'm going to try my caller once again. Now, as I said to the caller, 904 area code. I'm not going to obviously give out phone numbers, but that one, you know, so I give them the option. I said, if you want to, you know, say what you're going to say on the, you want to make your comment, go to the live chat. So the live chat page at the bottom of our broadcast page, you sign in there, get a free account, and you can type in. Well, that didn't happen. And so this is my little call screening new thing. I'm going to give one more chance to see what's going on, because if you call the show to listen, then
you
I'm going to call you
time.
To talk. Yeah, well, it's a different caller. You know, because I record everybody that calls in, so I know exactly who's calling. Who hasn't. Well, no, this is a different 904. Well, it's the same one that was on before. So let me give him one more chance to talk. And see, like again, if you want to listen, just go to blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. 904, now's your chance. Did you have a comment for us? It is live radio. Going once, going twice. Okay. Put him back on mute again. So that's the thing.
Some lively guests on Chancey and the other ones. I really enjoy listening to their conversation.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if people are interesting, they stay. You know, if they're not, you know, then I found out very quickly. But generally, by the time someone gets on the show, I already know ahead of time they're interesting. Did you get a chance to hear our new sex and sensuality report yesterday?
No, I don't think I could have. No, I was had to take
out.
Oh,
that's right. You were out of it. You were feeling so good.
Yeah.
That's okay. We had a blast. That's Dorothy Diana, and she's going to be a regular on the show. So we started joking around about calling it the Get Some Action Radio Report. So we're going to have some fun with that. All right. Let me take a break now. We've got a special guest. We've got Priscilla Romans of Grace Care. That's a combination of grace and faith, her kids. And it's a new kind of healthcare. So this is like a Wellness Wednesday. The whole show is wellness. And we had Lindsay at first. We had Wendy Arthur with the Oh My God Report. And we just had Chancey Terry. And we got a little bit of break now between now and 9 o'clock Central Time. And then we'll have our new caller. New person here, Priscilla Roman's a guest here on the show. And so let me play something in the meantime as we do we only take one break per show, really, and it works out pretty well. So let me get Anti-Federalist number 12, and then I'll have Federalist number 13 here pretty soon, probably the next day or so. We'll play that. And as we keep going through all the founding documents, both the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers, and see what we come up with. So, Pianki, I'll mute you too, and so you can make some noise. And everybody else listen in, and I'll be back in a little bit. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. This is one of the shortest of any Federalist or Anti-Federalist papers, and gets right to the main issue of taxes in the first paragraph. It's written by Cincinnatus, whom we've heard from before, and this paper is in response to Hamilton's Federalist No. 12 plan for the United States to make lots of money under the Constitution. He begins Anti-Federalist No. 12. on the subject of taxation, in which powers are to be given so largely by the new Constitution, you lull our fears of abuse by venturing to predict that the great revenue of the United States must and always will be raised by impost. And you elevate our hopes by holding out the reviving and supporting the national credit. If you have any other plan for this than by raising money upon the people to pay the interest of the national debt, your ingenuity will deserve our thanks. Supposing, however, that raising money is necessary to payment of the interest, and such a payment is requisite to support the credit of the Union, let us see how much will be necessary for that end, and how far the impost will supply what we want. He then proceeds in a bunch of numbers to back up his claim that the scheme basically won't work, will cost more than expected, and taxes will have to be raised. All the same problems we have today in the trillions of dollars of national debt. The money to run the country is supposed to come from imposts, which are taxes on imported goods. What Cincinnatus is questioning is whether the figures of revenue raised are accurate or intentionally misleading. This leads to the accusation still around today that government officials are either stupid or liars. He says, "We know too that our imports diminish yearly and from the nature of things must continue to diminish, and consequently that the above estimate of the produce of the impost will in all probability fall much short of the supposed sum. But even without this, it must appear that you were either intentionally misleading your hearers or were very little acquainted with the subject when you ventured to predict that the great revenue of the United States would always flow from the impost." This also documents the long-standing practice that government revenues will be short of estimates and costs will be higher. Cincinnatus then correctly states that when the federal government can't cover its bills the way it says it can, they will go to the states to cover the debt. And that is a great reason not to ratify the Constitution. The power to tax is uncontrolled with regard to the states. He says, "It will be expected that the new government will provide for this also, and such expectation is founded not only on the promise you hold forth of its reviving and supporting public credit among us, but also on this unavoidable principle of justice, that is, the new government takes away the impost and other substantial taxes from the produce of which the several states paid the interest of their debt or funded the paper with which they paid it. The new government must find ways and means of supplying that deficiency in hard money, for paper cannot be used without a violation of the principles it boasts." Cincinnatus is really good at explaining things and doesn't need any help from me. In his final paragraph, he clearly delineates the differences between the current Articles of Confederation and the proposed Constitution, and talks of the realities of the former compared to the expectations of the latter. Well, expectations are easy to declare, but much harder to meet, which is the point of the final paragraph, that the Federalists simply want the people to trust them, and they will manage everything. Sound familiar? However, Cincinnatus warns that the more likely end for such an all-encompassing grant of power is that the wealth will be squandered, the revenues will not be raised, and the full faith and credit of the United States will be ruined. And now, the national debt stands at some $30 trillion. Cincinnatus concludes, "The present government promises nothing, the intended government, everything. From the present government, little is expected, from the intended one, much. Because it is conceived that to the latter much is given, to the former little. And yet the inability of the people to pay what is required in specie, remaining the same, the funds of the one will not much exceed those of the other. The public creditors are easy with the present government from a conviction of its inability to pay. They will be urgent with the new one from an opinion that as is promised, so it can and will perform everything. Whether the change will be for our prosperity and honor is yet to be tried. Perhaps it will be found that the supposed want of power in Congress to levy taxes is, at present, a veil happily thrown over the inability of the people, and that the large powers given to the new government will, to every one, expose the nakedness of our land. Certain it is that if the expectations which are grafted on the gift of those plenary powers are not answered, our credit will be irretrievably ruined. Action Radio is now sponsoring a constitutional amendment to remove the power of Congress to borrow money. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. This is Greg Penglis for Strikeforce, your source for pure energy. Strikeforce is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. It contains caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, and potassium. You make your energy drink yourself. Strikeforce energy drinks come in original, grape, lemon, and orange. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strikeforce, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strikeforce is at StrikeforceEnergy.com. That's StrikeforceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Joe Biden's dark winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations. Just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country. This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener.
It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio, using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system.
Okay, we're back. So I'm going to make Pianki's line live. Our listeners, actually, we had a couple of them have disappeared. If you want to listen to the show, that's great. In fact, a lot of people do. A whole lot of people do. More and more all the time, especially in our new countries, Canada, Australia, and England, the UK, which is growing fabulously well. So a lot of people want freedom, and this is, you know, one of the probably the premier source in the world for citizen legislation. So this is a good place to learn about all the possibilities. Anyway, but if you want to just listen to the show, it's best not to call because that ties up my phone lines and I get confused and I have to deal with this. And it's always better to go to blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. That's where you listen. And the live show is always the top one, you know. So the way this works, just to explain it, I should probably do this more often. When you go to blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction, you're now on the Action Radio page. The first show at the top is either the one that is going to air at some time the next morning. It's the show that's currently airing live. Like if you go now, you can catch it live. Or it's the one that's already been podcast. It's the most recent one that was podcast. So those are your options. So if you want to call the show, expect to be put on the line and talk. I want callers to the show. But if you call to listen, which a lot of people apparently do, then at that point you're tying up phone lines. You know, it's better, much better to listen online. Pianki, welcome back, sir. How you doing? We got about 10 minutes before our next wellness guest, as we cure everybody's ills and ailments and all the other things that are making individuals and society sick. We're going to do it all here today.
What is good? There's a lot to be cured, a lot of ills that exist between people in this country and, of course, throughout the world.
Yeah. You know, I played that. Go ahead.
I wish they could come up with something for Brandon because he needs it.
Well, we talked about that. Remember, we spent Monday's show on performance-enhancing drugs, and I've still got more on that. I'm going to ask our doctor's panel tomorrow. Actually, there's a few things I'm going to ask our doctor's panel tomorrow. One question that we haven't talked about on the show yet that we should is whether the death of Ivana Trump was as a result of a COVID shot. And I've got a couple of sources that say that's exactly what happened. I think that's what happened because, you know, being a Trump family member and warp speed and all that stuff and Trump's, you know, convincing himself that this is, quote, safe and effective, which it's neither. I think Trump's got his whole family with the being vaccine injured, which I think is a terrible mistake. And I worry about Trump, you know, when he wants to run again in 2024, having had a COVID jab, you know, what that's doing to his body right now. But you know, you look at Ivana, who allegedly fell down the stairs, ended up at the bottom of the stairs, and had heart, you know, issues. That would be very typical. You know, she's very tired before it happened. That sounds very much like a COVID shot heart attack. Now, I don't have proof. I can't prove it. But of the people of the stars that have disappeared, Justin Bieber has face paralysis. The people early on that got the COVID shots, Marvin Hagler, Larry King, Hank Aaron, some of the other people that have died, Bob Saget, you know, all these folks that all these football stars and baseball stars and, you know, people in Europe, the soccer players, they're dropping dead in the fields. You know, the young people, the healthiest people on earth, some of our service people who've been forced to get the COVID jab. It would not surprise me. Brian Sicknick, the Capitol Hill police officer that died shortly after January 6th of two strokes, you know, probably got the jab in December because Capitol Hill got it first before anybody else. So it makes sense that somebody from Capitol Hill would die first. You know, so you start putting these puzzle pieces together and it forms a rather disturbing picture. But I think that Ivana Trump is one of the victims of the COVID shot. Pianki?
Well, it's a possibility. I don't like to get into those conspiracy theories, but
well, what makes it a conspiracy theory? Let's talk about what is a conspiracy theory. I just put forward a proposition. I put forward the evidence that I have. It's circumstantial. It's not definitive. I don't know that she took the COVID shot. I'm pretty sure she did. I don't know that she died of a COVID shot, but the symptoms, you know, the heart attack, the things that are going on, and given the Trump family, they would have, you know, Donald Trump would have insisted to, quote, protect his family, which does anything but, it's a theory, but what's the conspiracy?
Well, the conspiracy is that it was somebody's plan.
Well, I didn't say that.
Maybe he had a special vial that they gave her the shot out of. So it's always going to be a conspiracy. It's not always, but the more likelihood that it would be a conspiracy being who her name is and who she's involved with. So there you are.
Yeah, see, when I think of conspiracy theory, I think of a derogatory thing that people label, something that they don't want to believe because it goes against their assumptions, that a lot of times is later proven to be true. You know, Obama does have a fraudulent birth certificate. That's not a conspiracy theory. The 9/11 towers, tower number 7, did disintegrate and collapse, yet no airplane hit it. You know, there's a lot of things that a lot of people saw a missile going into TWA Flight 800. These are all labeled as conspiracy theories, yet there's evidence, direct evidence to the contrary. You know, I was just watching a piece, a reporter said that, you know, they couldn't find any airplane parts in the Pentagon. You know, if an airplane crashed in the Pentagon, there'd be parts, wings, tail, things like that. There'd be stuff left over. And yet this report says that there wasn't any. Now, was that a completely fabricated report? It's possible. Look genuine, but there's a question. Where were the airplane parts? You know, so that's something we can look into. So the whole idea of conspiracy theories is something we should talk about, because what you know, do people label things that they don't want you to believe? Now, I know the election was fraudulent. I've seen more than enough evidence to convince me that the 2020 election was absolutely stolen from Donald Trump, that there are Democrat governors and secretaries of state that were put there, you know, for the specific purpose of running a fraudulent election with, you know, mail order ballots and ballot harvesting and all kinds of things like that, and stuffing ballots and doing it. And you've got 2,000 mules. You've got all the Giuliani, Jenna Ellis hearings. You've got the Arizona audit. You know, you've got the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There's overwhelming evidence that this was a stolen election. And yet it's called a conspiracy theory. Well, why is that?
Because that's a conspiracy. The conspiracy for the news to call it conspiracy theory, because no, not a theory, but to call it a conspiracy and allegations, because that's
what
people
listen to. Well,
it is a conspiracy,
but people use the term conspiracy theory because they're trying to convince you that you're an idiot or you're insane, or they're trying to convince everybody else that you're an idiot or you're insane. It's a way to discount your theory, your proposal, your evidence, your gathering, your putting together pieces of a puzzle. It's a way to dismiss anybody without dealing with the evidence and without dealing with what they say. So this is why I don't like that term.
Yeah,
I don't mind using it, but I'm just saying. It's used to bring about. It's like a false accusation of racism. You know, people use racism. They say, well, you know, especially white people who are susceptible to ridiculous amounts of guilt. You know, that black and Hispanic and Asian folks will say, you know, we'll use the term racism because they know it gets out a predetermined result. Well, in the same way, people use the term conspiracy theory because when you put those two words together, they don't mean what they mean individually, which is what I try to do. It means that you're an idiot, you know, when someone says that you're a wacko, that you're proposing something that's impossible. It's a conspiracy theory. Well, conspiracies are very real. Two people, you know, combine together to do something illegal. And a theory, you know, something based on evidence and hypothesis and, a further development from a hypothesis. Hypothesis is an idea. Hypothesis plus evidence is a theory. So,
yeah, and every truth is a lie until it's proven.
Say that again. That sounds interesting. What was that?
Every truth is a lie until proven true.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's mathematical formulas out for that.
Did you ever take logic? I never did this because my math sucks. But there's like logic. They actually have symbols and they do proofs and they actually mathematically, you know, diagram logic. Did you ever do that? I never did it.
No, not that I know. I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, you'd know. There's like sines and cosines and big E's and some other things. Logical. It's its own language of symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't do it either. Okay, I was just curious.
There's another name for that I can't think of right now. But no, that's just the way it is. The news, when Donald Trump said the election was stolen, the news will say he's putting out conspiracies.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to deal with the evidence.
They will call his conspiracy the theory. Because they got the ability to do that. They got the audience, which is the audience is unknowing, ignorant. So thus you have what you have. See, a lot of this stuff could be nipped in the bud if conservatives would get up and say, hell no. That's all they got to do is say, hell no. Every BLM rally, you should have a conservative group that shows up and rallies against them. Of course, they're going to be called white supremacists. I ain't never heard them call females white supremacists. They always would say that for the white male.
Right.
But that's what you got to do. You got to come up and tell, hell no. You got to do it at your school board.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the least likely, not the least likely, but the least effort where it can be done. Say, hell no.
Well, that's why women are so much more effective when it comes to gun arguments, because they're not, you know, white male rednecks. You know, that's why Shirley's really good at what she does. We've got, I don't know if I've told you this. Well, you may or may not know. Maj Touré is coming on next Tuesday, Black Guns Matter. You know, he's going to be fabulous. We've got, what's your name? Rhonda Azeel from Chicago, Chicago Guns Matter. We know a lot of gun stuff. It's going to be pretty interesting here to do that. So, yeah, lots of fun.
Maybe you can get Colin Noir to come on.
I'd love to get Colin Noir to come on. Are you in touch with him by chance? He'd be fabulous to have on the show.
No, I've tried to get him on your show before, but it apparently didn't work.
Well, that's okay. Well, we keep trying. I mean, I'm trying to get, Mike Lindell, Donald Trump, you know, Newt Gingrich. I want everybody on the show because I want to talk to them. I want to tell them what we do here. In fact, we have a new guest. So let me get to our new guest right now here. Since we've done a lot of break stuff, we've had a lot of fun. It's now time for let me see if I can find it here, our guest of the day. And that is Priscilla Romans. So we've never talked. This is going to be kind of fun because I have tons of questions. She runs an organization called Grace Care. It fits in perfectly today with our new theme of wellness. We're doing a lot of wellness. We had Lindsay Horton at first, then we had Chancy Terry, and of course we had Wendy with the Oh My God Report. We have all these different things going on. Wellness is exploding. I think it's a fascinating idea. Healthcare basically sucks. The model that we have now that you have no control over your healthcare, that you have to go to a doctor, you have no idea what the price is that you're being paid for, you're given pills, and some obnoxious, anonymous, third-party Medicare insurance or the Center for Medicare folks that are doing all the COVID stuff, or some insurance determines whether you can get your treatment or not. It's a totally ridiculous system. So I'm really glad Priscilla's on. So Priscilla, welcome to Action Radio. How you doing?
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, healthcare does suck, and we say get an advocate. And a lot of people just go, what does an advocate do? I mean, why wouldn't my doctor just help me, right? Well, I am a former nurse. I've worked in lots of different nursing roles and leadership roles throughout healthcare, and I always got so frustrated because I saw these people working through this complex system, and none of their problems ever got taken care of. The doctor would add more drugs, increase the dose, label them chronic, label them anxious, and then they would come back in another 3 months with the same issue, with the same things, or maybe new things. And so I had to start questioning what was really going on, and I've always had this thing in me where I'm like, you know what? I mean, there's way more we could be doing for people. Like, there are way more options than, let's just say, the big thing of cancer, right? People go, well, I was sent to my oncologist, and I said, well, what did they tell you? They go, well, they usually do either surgery, chemo, or radiation. I said, yep, one of the big three. I said, did they tell you anything else? They go, no. I said, well, you need to know.
Did you ask?
What other options
that'd be my
you
next
have.
Question. Did they ask anything else? I mean, do people, go to their doctor and say, okay, you got three choices, chemo, radiation, or surgery, none of which are particularly attractive,
No, none of them are.
Right. But my first question is, what else you got? I mean, I'm weird. I have a totally different philosophy of everything, which you'll pick up very quickly on. But that's my first question: is what else you got? You know, what about nutrition? What about exercise? What about attitude? Should I meditate?
Those questions.
Beg pardon?
Yeah, Greg, you can ask those questions to the doctor, but the response from the traditional healthcare system is going to go, this is what we offer because it's their business model. That's why an advocate's really important because we do know all those other options and we help navigate those people. Because we have a new gentleman on board. We got him got him out of a Florida hospital with COVID. He just also got diagnosed with a horrible cancer diagnosis at the same time. He goes,
he
I don't want to do chemo. I said,
did he have the jab?
Nope, he did not. He did not. He is not vaccinated. But people are still getting these, you know, horrible diagnoses. So I just said, well, what do you want? He goes, well, I don't want to do chemo, but I do want to live. He goes, I've got a family to still take care of. I said, great, perfect. You already have the will to live. So let's try to work on other options because I know there is other options. And I know people that have killed their cancer. He goes, you do? I said, yeah. I said, they've gotten terminal diagnosis and their cancer is gone. And I said, I don't know if that's something we could do for your specific cancer, but I said, we should sure try it. He goes, yeah, let's do it. I said, sounds good. So we help find people the options that they're looking for. But that traditional oncologist, he gave them all the options that they could offer from a traditional oncology standpoint, right? That's their business model. But when a person is truly informed, they need to know all of their options up front because at the end of the day, that person has to live with whatever happens next. Right? And they should really, truly be informed. I do believe the oncologist should tell them that there's other alternative treatments, but they don't because they don't profit off of it. That's really what it is. So we just have to think differently with the healthcare system, and that's exactly why I launched Grave Care in March of 2020. I had no clue that this COVID stuff was really going to unravel to mass vaccinations, experimental meds, remdesivir, that's like the worst medication ever. I didn't know these things were going to be happening, of course, in March of 2020. God was prompting me to do something with my talent, so I just started doing it. And I got so busy in February of 2021, I had to leave my corporate gig because I was building a business as I was, you know, trying to, you know, work and take care of a family of four kids. But God opened up the door and said, Priscilla, you need to do this full time. So I just started doing it full time. I got so busy, I had to start bringing on more people like-minded who are willing to go figure it out for people and go hunt down options for people and help them navigate, help them with those critical conversations with their doctor. And it does change the conversation when you have somebody that knows what they're talking about. The conversation changes in the hospital room, in the doctor's office, when you're asking intelligent questions because you know exactly what the person really needs, right? And things change. So I have an ICU background, an intensive care background. My original nursing was, I was a pediatric intensive care nurse. I took care of the sickest babies that were on the heart-lung machine. It's called ECMO. Babies that were born with half of a heart, they would come back with their chest open. I would see their heart beating. I worked with the most critical of critical situations, and all I cared about, what can we do to save this life, and what can we do to make sure this is a good experience for the parents, the family, right? Because this is tragic. And when the doctors, I see doctors, they do a lot of stuff, but they don't communicate well, okay? Anybody in the healthcare system knows nobody communicates well in the healthcare system. So I say, like, advocacy is like we're the best healthcare translator ever, you know, in any position, because these doctors don't talk to one another. These doctors will give a diagnosis and walk out of the room, and the person's like, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to die. They just told me I got cancer. And I'm like, who told you you're going to die? They're like, I just got cancer diagnosis. I'm like, well, I don't think you're going to die. Like, we just got to find out if there's any other options. Like, don't give up. And the doctor doesn't sit there and explain because typically that's just not what they're good at. Now, I'm not saying all doctors are like that. I want to make sure your audience understands that. Thank God there are some really great doctors out there, and thank God I know those people because I will help navigate and find those people, those physicians, functional med, holistic, alternative, chiropractors. Find those people that are best fit for our clients. That's what we do. We're the puzzle piece connector. So did that kind of make a little bit of sense?
Yeah, but I want to hold you up just for a second because most interviews that I'm sure you do or places you go to talk about stuff, they give you like 10, 15 minutes tops, probably closer to five, and you have to cram as much information as you can. Let me tell you right now, you've got this whole hour, and I want you back. I already know that, okay? And I want you to join at some point when you can our Thursday World's Greatest Doctors panel, and that's the great COVID doctors, the people that actually told the truth at the beginning of this, and that's Dr. Mikovits, Dr. Thorpe, Dr. Artis, Dr. Marble, and our data expert, John Cullen, who actually created the map, the COVID map for Johns Hopkins University. Jim Thorpe, Dr. Thorpe happens to be on the line right now, so I'm going to bring him on, and then we're going to backtrack a little bit. I want to find a little bit more about this patient advocacy thing and the model for how you do this. So if that's okay, I want to kind of, you know, do more detail and like I said, have you back so we can really explore this. I'd rather cover, you know, certain things well and, rather than try and cover the most material in the shortest amount of time. And so that's just how I do things. So we've never talked, so you didn't know that, but I wanted to make that put that out there and see what you think. Jim, Dr. Thorpe, welcome to the show.
Greg, thank you for having me on your show. Just very refreshing to hear Priscilla and her patient advocacy. And she is so right. She is so spot on. I think she gives physicians more credit than they deserve.
Do you guys know each other by chance? Have you ever met or talked at all?
No.
Okay, good. No,
okay.
Just curious.
Good to meet you, by the way.
Yeah, you'll meet a lot of people on Action Radio. We have quite a crew here, you know, over the course of a week. But yeah, go ahead, Jim. Feel free.
Well, Priscilla is so spot on. You know, Greg, we spoke the other day. You know, in this new preprint publication that we have, we just submitted it yesterday, and it's called COVID-19 and Disaster Capitalism. So we spoke about this, and I think Priscilla is precisely on spot with exactly what we were discussing. We talked about the medical industrial complex, which is, as you know, Eisenhower warned of the military industrial complex.
Yeah, I actually went over the speech July 4th. You know, I was doing speeches of freedom, and I actually read his thing. Was quite fascinating, that in Kennedy's inaugural and some other things like that. So speeches, you know, people hear about them, but they don't actually read them. So it's interesting. Yeah, go ahead, Jim. And then I'll see if you have a question for Priscilla.
Yeah, I do have a question for her. But we talked about the fact in the United States of America, the current healthcare costs for the per capita, per annum, almost $12,000 per person.
Mm-hmm.
And our health grade scores are horrible. They're a third world country. Now we go down to India, I think the second largest populated continent in the world, next to China. We're looking at what's their per capita per income. Ours was $12,000 per person per year to provide health care. In India, what is it? $64. $64, and their health grades are much better than ours. So
let me just hold you right there because this is a great point. And Priscilla, the way that we spend money in this country, I mean, on healthcare, I mean, there's nobody advocating. There's nobody looking for cheaper, better prices. There's nobody telling the patient, here are your options. Let's consider things. There's no price, itemized price list. There's none of the things of a normal consumable product. You know, you don't go to an auto mechanic without asking how much it's going to cost to fix your vehicle. And yet we throw ourselves in the hands of the medical community. You know, our insurance, you know, our employment pays for it. You know, nobody knows what the insurance policy is. They just pay, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 a month, whatever it is. And then you're just kind of stuck with the result. So what about this cost difference? Priscilla, what do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let me break this down for you because we teach people what's important about advocacy is that people are engaged in their healthcare and they need to understand the cost of their healthcare. So a lot of people go, well, I just have insurance. I said, okay, so how many times a year are you using your insurance, right? And mm-hmm. and why are you using insurance? Because for me and my family, I don't even use insurance anymore. I do cash price. I negotiate my rates. And I help other people do the same thing. Because mm-hmm. why are people continuing to pay the insurance company $15,000, $16,000 for a premium? You've got to mm-hmm. hit a deductible of $10,000. You're paying copays, specialty fees, more, all these medications. You might not even need all those medications, first of all. So mm-hmm. the system is going to control all of the things that you want to do, right? And you have to start asking the questions, why is it this way? It's because they have created a codependency for people to say, oh, well, I have insurance. I'm going to say congratulations. I will give you an example. I went for a CAT scan last year. If I would have done it through insurance, through a typical plan, I would have paid $1,800 for that CAT scan. I asked the lady, and I encourage any clients, anybody in your audience, to start asking these questions. You go to that front desk and you say, what's your cash price? They go, what? How did you know? Yeah, you need to ask what the cash price is. Like, yeah. This is, and people just don't know that language. So we empower people to do that. Or we say, you know what? There's something called a CPT code. All of those codes have a cash price rate. You've got to be smart enough of how to utilize that, right? People go for a procedure. They go, oh, it's going to be this expense. My insurance isn't going to pay for it. I said, well, who cares about insurance? I said, let's go cash price shopping. They go, what? You can do that? Well, why can't we do that? Are you kidding me? Let's go find a physician, an anesthesiologist, and a facility that's not going to cost you out the wazoo to go get that done. These things are happening every single day, and that is why the current industry is going to collapse on its own weight. And the people that want better care are going to go find it because insurance isn't going to pay for those things anyway. They're going to say, oh, that's out of network. Right? Oh, we don't pay for IV supplementation. We don't pay for the great vitamins that you need to be on for your immune system. They don't pay for those things for a reason because it's actually good for you. So yeah. People need to start rethinking. Advocacy is here to try to put those pieces of the puzzle together. And look, there is no problem that we can't solve. It's just a matter of, do people have a sense of urgency to figuring out a different way, or are they going to just complain about it, right? I don't know. Yeah. They get to decide.
Well, let's get to Jim's point. Can we reduce, you know, if we do this and there's, you know, people start shopping around for things and can we get our insurance? It may not be $64 per person like in India, but could we take that $12,000 and make it $1,200, for example, through price shopping?
Oh, for sure. I think we can. I think it's going to take the right set of people to put that package together for people so it can be reliable. There's a lot of great programs out there that do this, but I haven't seen anything very functional. It's very confusing for people still. So I'm waiting for that to happen. For now, like with Grave Care, we're an out-of-pocket expense. People pay cash price for us, and that's what we do. I don't do all the billing nightmare with insurance because, well, I teach people how to actually use their insurance. Like, they're on insurance, fine. Let's use it to the max. But people don't need to understand that if the doctor doesn't write the right type of order for medical necessity for what they need, it isn't going to happen. You're going to live in an appeals life. Denial, appeal, denial, appeal. Okay, great. That sounds like a lot of fun. And then weeks go on and they're still like, they haven't gotten anything done.
Yeah. Well, here's my question for you, and I'm going to get back to Jim in just a second here. What we do here at Action Radio, is, Jim's going to love this part. He's going to go crazy. But we have a citizen legislature, so we actually write legislation to correct things. One of the bills you might be interested in is our bill that puts full product liability back on vaccine manufacturers, cancels the EUA, and cancels the Declaration of Emergency. Now, that's one of our bigger bills, but what I want to talk to you about as we get to know each other and hopefully can work together, is a bill that translates exactly what you're saying, you know, on a cash system and makes healthcare voucher for low-income folks, tax credit for middle-income folks, and maybe tax deductible for upper-income folks. Find some way to do this because if we can afford, you know, $6 trillion to fight stupid wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, we can fund most people's basic medical insurance in this country. But I'd like to go to a regular system. You know, if the corporations have tax deductions for offering health plans, why can't people get those same tax credits, tax deductions, and vouchers so that we have basic health care covered and then we can start worrying about the more expensive things and, you know, do different ways of handling these costs. But just there's no reason for people not to be, and people say, well, Greg, you're a socialist. Get away from me. You know, I don't even go there. But is there a way, if we're a rich enough country, why can't we do this? And I asked Jen the same question, but can't we go to a model of a cash system, a medical savings account, a voucher system, a tax credit, tax deduction, you know, system like that? And because people go broke, people are avoiding healthcare. They're dying of cancer when they could be cured simply because they're waiting too long because they don't have the money for their insurance premium. That to me is irrational. That makes no sense. Priscilla? I know that's a big question.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I was taught as an old school, you know, growing up, it's just a matter of doing it. Sometimes you just got to get in there and start doing it to see what works and what doesn't. Hmm. And nobody's going to do this for anybody. So we do have to have the right legislation. I thank God there's somebody like you out there doing that. I mean, that's not my strength zone, but
it
I do believe in it.
Work with me, trust me. I'll show you how.
I worked in Illinois for a long time, and they were doing a nurse patient ratio bill act in Illinois where they were, you know, doing this nurse patient ratios. Well, the union showed up to the floor when I went to show up and testify, and I had never seen anything like that in my life. My eyes were like, what is happening? I've never seen such mean people.
Yeah, Illinois is a
good
training ground. Because of the way they do.
Whoa, I mean, I was like, what is happening? But go back to what you want. I want the same thing. I don't think the cost for what people are paying equals the value.
Mm.
And so we've got to go back to they talk about this value-based care and all these cute little accountable care organization. Well, I can tell you all about those things because I've worked with those systems and how those healthcare systems got paid. And
yeah,
it's
let me
not,
hold up on
the
that
strategy isn't correct.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about how these things are paid and the Medicare, the CMT thing and how COVID's all fun and all that kind of stuff. But I want to get back to Jim. Can you go to a patient advocacy model? Do you think we could and actually what I'm comparing this to is educational choice. In other words, vouchers for education. Seems to me I think we have vouchers in healthcare and tax deductions and tax credits would be a very good way to fund these things. We'd actually save money overall. We get a lot more people treated. They have a lot more access to care, and they have a lot more control over it. Jim, what do you think?
I think that the advocacy model is a great idea, and I applaud for doing what she's doing. I have one question for her, and I got to get back to my patients, and I'll ask the question, and then I got to hang up. But
okay.
Priscilla, if this is a question from a patient advocacy expert such as yourself, if it's a given, and if we believe Janet Woodcock from the CDC, head of the CDC, and Rochelle Walensky, head of the FDA, and if they finally came out and admitted that they are not being transparent with the COVID-19 vaccination data that they have, they've admitted that, then from a patient advocacy perspective, hasn't that totally negated honest, informed consent if the physician who is ordering or recommending the vaccine doesn't, A, know what's in it, and because that's been confidential, and B, we're told by the FDA and the CDC from their highest authorities that they're not being transparent with the data. From a physician's perspective, I would suggest that it is, first of all, it is unethical, and I would suggest maybe even illegal that a physician would be put in a position to prescribe a vaccine or anything, any injection, when they don't have full clarity and transparency of the data from the pharmaceutical company. I'm going to let you answer that, if you will, and listen, and I'm going to shut up and get back to my patient work. Thank you for having
okay.
me.
Jim. Yeah. Oh, I'll always talk to the show. Priscilla?
Yeah, that's a question we get a lot in terms of who's liable in this. And I'm not I don't provide legal advice, but what I do say from an advocacy standpoint is those physicians, I do not believe that they are going to be able to say, I was just doing what I was told. And I think they're putting themselves in a very bad position because what we're getting now is people calling us and they say, I went and got the vaccine because my doctor told me I was high risk and now I have this issue going on with me and I went back to that same doctor and the doctor doesn't want to talk about this being a vaccine injury, wants to diagnose me with these other things and I don't think that's what it is. What do I do with my doctor that told me to go get it, but now is not appropriately treating the potential root cause, which could
be the
vaccine.
Sue them for malpractice. That's what I do, sue them for malpractice.
I mean,
it's too late. You've already been jabbed, so you know the jab is forever. Yeah.
Correct. You can't suck that out of you. But what you can do is you can get it together in terms of what you can do to try to mitigate some of those symptoms and issues. You do need to find a different physician because clearly that physician can't think critically that they even promoted something that was an experiment to begin with. So people have to start questioning what's the doctor saying to them? What is potentially in it? What are my long-term risks? If you're not asking those questions to your doctor, you might have some really bad consequences down the road. You do not need to believe everything that the white coat says. So from an advocacy standpoint, it is unethical what they're doing. I think they are going to be held accountable once we have the right legislation, we have the right people prosecuting,
I've already got the bill. I've got two of them. One that changes Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act that makes liability immunity on big tech conditional on them not touching anybody's posting, not touching anything that anybody's account, and not arranging the search engines. And here's the thing, and people say, well, what about the obscene stuff? What about all that other? Well, we already have obscenity laws. We don't need big tech to be law enforcement. We already have law enforcement. You know, we've got pornography laws. We've got child pornography laws. We've got everything that anybody's going to post online is already illegal if it's bad. You know, the bad stuff, the graphically violent, horrible, nasty stuff that people want to post. We already got laws against that kind of stuff. Okay? You know, so that's already dealt with. So why would you give that power to big tech? So what my bill does very simply is says that, yes, you have liability immunity from anything anybody posts, no matter how horrible it is, because that's not your job. Your job is to provide social media and search engines. That's what big tech does. However, if you cross that line and you touch anything that anybody posts, however bad it might be or controversial or you know what you consider fake news or whatever it is like that, you lose your liability immunity. You are now liable for touching something that somebody posts, and they can sue your ass for it. That's what my bill does.
Oh, I love that.
That ends censorship. Go on. You know, endorse the bill, join us, and share it with all your friends and family and media talk shows.
That's amazing. And that's what we need.
Your next interview in Congress. Well, that's what we do here.
Everybody. Yes, I totally agree. I think I think that's great. We have to start taking individual action, and that's just what I wanted to do on my part. From a nurse perspective, I got into my nursing field because I really wanted to help people. And when I saw that the system wasn't helping people, I had to start just taking things into my own hands. And, you know, I think God opened up this door in March of 2020, and I had no clue how to run a business. But I've ran enough operations, and I'm a pretty I've got an entrepreneur spirit because I grew up in that kind of home environment and had really good examples. And no problem is something that we can't handle. And I just want people to start getting in control of their health care and not waiting for crisis, because it's going to take a lot more time and effort if you wait for crisis and you don't start being proactive with your health care
system. Isn't that what our health care system is based on? I've heard it's sick care, not well care. And I don't quite understand what people mean when they say that. But you look at the way COVID's treated. you know, stay home until you're so deathly ill you have to go to the hospital because your oxygen content is so low. And then they're going to stuff you with remdesivir, which makes your kidneys fail. And that's going to put all that kidney fluid that should be, you know, passed out of your body like we do every day. It's going to end up in your lungs. It's a horrible thought. And then they're going to try and blast that fluid out with a ventilator, you know, rather than drain the fluid. And they're going to kill you. You know, and that's approved government policy. And there's $100,000 per person, you know, all the way from the initial PCR test. Is that what it is?
PCR test. Mm-hmm.
PCR test all the way through the coroner. They all make money off this. So they make money. There's $100,000 per COVID death that's paid out by the Center for Medicare, Medicaid system, the CMS system. Okay. That's what our healthcare system is based on. So they kill you for $100,000 and they won't save you for $20 worth of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. This is a sick system.
Yeah, I call it the sick cycle of the system because the sick cycle of the system, it's just you're in it. You've already got insurance. You're in network. You go to the same doctors, same system, all the same people within their same network. They're only going to approve certain drugs because that's what Big Pharma wants. They keep giving you those same things. You look up those medications, the pharmaceutical medications. You look at the adverse reactions. You can either go to drugs.com or look up a physician drug reference, PDR. And
yeah,
every physician knows this.
We did this. I'll tell you, just to interrupt for a second, I did this with Ritalin several years ago. And we had like a guy's hour because mostly young men get this. So I had older guys call in, middle-aged men, you know, that had Ritalin when they were younger. And I guess Adderall's the latest one now. I said, well, let's go to the physician. I was on the air, right? I said, let's go to the physician's desk reference, the internet version. Let's see what it says. And what came with Ritalin, I think it was homicidal and suicidal tendencies, you know, some of the more adverse reactions. I said, you're giving this to school kids? You know, because they have a lack of attention, and you're giving them something. You know, you look at the this goes back to Columbine, even. You know, Dylan Klebold and the other one, they were on Lovox, Paxil, you know, Prozac, and all these different antidepressants. They're all, and I love this term, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. If I can work that into the conversation, I feel really smart. But they have these drugs for people, all right. And if you actually look them up, and I'm not a genius, I'm not a doctor, I don't even play one on the radio. But I can read, you know, I can read the physician's desk reference.
Right.
I recognize words like suicidal and homicidal tendencies. Why would you do that to anybody and not look this up yourself? It staggers the imagination.
But I'm telling you, most doctors don't even talk to the patients about the potential adverse reactions. We have found people on medications for a very long time, and those medications shouldn't even have been used for that long. Mm-hmm. And so we say, do you know that this medication, this long-term medication you've been on now for 10 years, could actually be part of the reason why you're in this current state? They go, what? Why wouldn't my doctor tell you? I don't know why your doctor didn't tell you. I'm telling you that we've got to get, here's the thing. I don't care about what all these yahoos are doing. All I care about is figuring out results for people and moving on. If I need to find them a different physician because I'm not a physician, I will find them one. I will find the one that cares, that does follow through. We follow up with our clients. We don't do one and done. We are with our clients. If they still want, it's a membership with GraveCare that they have. It is the best membership that somebody could have for them. Mm-hmm. And the fear that we need to release from people out there is super critical because fear is deadly. And we've got to eliminate that and get people control back. And hopefully they read, because if they don't start reading some of the stuff that's happening, mm-hmm. they're not going to understand some of the details. And it is in there. They have it's in our faces. It's just the fact that they've made us a rat race out there, right? People are out there just working their butts off every day to try to pay for gas, food, and make sure their kids don't, you know, with trafficking or whatever it is, right? There's crazy stuff out there happening. And so there's a rat race out there, so they can't even have time to sit and focus to say, what do I really need for my health care? How do I avoid feeling like this for the next decade?
Makes sense. You know, it's interesting. I'm thinking as you're talking, and I think of food labels. you've got the vitamins, you've got the minerals, you've got the calories, you've got the salt content, you've got, you know, all these different things in a food label. You've got the ingredients from highest to lowest concentration. You got all that stuff there. There's all kinds of labeling for food, but I can't remember ever seeing a medicine label with the side effects, the good stuff, the bad stuff. This is what it's designed to do. This is what can happen. You know, this is how many calories. This is the contents of your medicine. This is the stuff there beyond the actual drug that we're talking about. You know, Tylenol has, you know, these 20 ingredients in this order. You know, you don't see that. There's no honesty in medicine labeling like food labeling. I'm just curious why.
Yeah, it's nutrition is not something that's talked about in the offices. It's like a low priority, but people need to start putting it as a high priority. The things that you put in your mouth and the things that you drink are going to be super critical to how you feel. Mm-hmm. And how you start, you know, working on your system, your gut, even your gut. I mean, people in their bowel movements alone is super, super important. Nurses always get excited. They're like, okay, are you pooping? Are you peeing? Well, some people think that like pooping once a week is great. Like you're constipated. That is not a good thing. Like we
once
need to figure that out.
That sounds scary.
Oh, yeah. They think that's so regular. And I'm like, okay, your gut health is super important to the rest of your whole body health. And people just forget those things, and they want to go, well, is there something to take for that? No, let's talk about what are you doing, like, during the day? What are you eating and drinking? Well, if you have six Pepsis and you go eat a bunch of, like, drive-through food all day, I mean, I'm telling you that you're probably spending a lot of money, one, and you could be putting that into better things. But, two, you're not doing yourself any good for your health care. And people sometimes just need that rewound a little bit, and let's just talk about some of the details. And that's what we want to provide with advocacy, from small things to big things, from pediatrics to seniors. We say, let's put a game plan together. Let's start putting these things. And I'll tell you, the physicians that we work with, they love what we do because we can spend the time that they don't have in these offices to do. They don't have the time to go research and make the extra phone calls.
They should have the time.
It's because they're billing. Well, Medicare pays 15 minutes for a visit. That's why.
What?
Medicare rate is a 15-minute visit if they're in insurance. Now, if you go to a cash price doctor, those doctors do a better job of spending time with you.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it does make sense, but it's crazy. Well, see, let's talk about advocacy care. So the current system. You know, the company has your insurance, you know, so they get a tax benefit, whereas the person should get the tax benefit. You know, it should be like I say, a voucher, tax credit, tax deduction system. You know, everything you do should, you know, there's no reason for people to have, you know, basic health care costs that, you know, we deduct so many other things. Why can't we have a tax credit? Or tax deduction for medical costs, that would lower the price. Then you shop around. So then you will save money by selecting the best care for yourself. We want to have patient incentives. Competition works. Competition would lower the cost of healthcare throughout the entire system. So what we really have to do is just basically abandon the current system and turn it into a much more of a consumer position. But what consumers need is folks like you, because nobody knows the medical market, you know, because we're not doctors. But we have to have someone we can trust that we can talk to and say, what are the options? You know, how can I do this? How can I save money? How can I put money in my medical savings account for the kids? How can I, you know, do this in a better way? So let's go over this model of advocacy. So someone walks into the office. Kind of walk me through what you would do with a patient first time. How does this all work?
Yeah, so first time people can call or text GraceCare to even get started. The number is 469-864-7149. They can call or text, or they can go to GraceCare.com. And what they're going to look for on that website is an Enroll Now button. Okay, they click Enroll Now. It takes them about 2 minutes to put their information. They can add any member they want to their membership. So some people even add their neighbors, their uncle, their grandma, their kids. We don't care who's on the membership. It could just be them if they wanted. And they put who they want. They'll talk with our intake specialist, Jennifer. Jennifer then does the matching. We're like the matchmakers, okay? So the current problem that they're experiencing, we want to hook them up with the right type of advocate, right? So the client need, let's say it's a pediatric need or somebody in the hospital, in the ICU, or somebody that needs to find a new doctor, there's a specific type of advocate that they need, because not every single type of advocate would fit each problem, right? Think about all the different types of nurses there are out there. So we have a huge team, and we have an international advocate, too. We actually just brought on somebody from Australia as a client, and she's helping them with them. It's kind of exciting because I never thought we would go global like that, but we have, and we've got lots of clients in Canada.
Well, you're providing
helping,
a model.
Helping as well.
You're providing a new model of healthcare, yeah. So, of course, people are interested. Now, think about this.
Yeah.
You know, Australia is a socialized medicine, so you're probably going to get folks from Australia, Canada, and the U.K., that's what I'm getting
yep.
in the show.
Yeah. Oh, and
you know,
we, and
our
and
biggest,
we expect that.
Okay.
Yeah, we expect that. I just didn't think it would happen this soon. I mean, I'm a small business owner, but mm-hmm. So what happens is when people come in, they tell Jennifer, this is what my main problem is. She says, okay, we're going to hook you up with this advocate. Do you want 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, or 8 hours to get started?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not really for sure, she just recommends just do 60 minutes of advocacy. Let's see how this works for you. It's all the pricing is online as well, okay? The hour cost is $125 for 1 hour. We go through whatever that problem is. The advocate gives them advice, recommendations, and consultation, telling them how to work the system, how to figure out some of the things based off of their issue. If they want their advocate to do more things like talk to their doctor with them, maybe they want them to go to a visit with them because the advocate lives close to where they're located. We can do all those things. We adjust to the need, and then we go figure it out. We say, okay, these are the things that we think is best next steps for you based
on like
what you just told me.
It's like consultants
yes.
is what you are. Yeah. You know, it's funny you should say
yeah.
this. I used to teach flying years ago, and I'll probably hopefully get back into it at some point. But one thing that I did was that the FAA is probably like the system, the Center for Medicaid systems, the insurance funding. The FAA treats all pilots the same. Everybody learns the same way. Well, everybody doesn't learn the same way. So I became a consultant, I would talk to them, and I'd find out how they learn best. And how they learn best is how I adapted my teaching so they could learn best. So I was kind of doing what you were doing in flight instruction in a similar fashion. So you're finding out how people can heal best. You know, and you consult with them and open up all these options. And this is why the current health system is so dangerous, because it's not really a health system. It's really a death system, you know, and it's this whole funding thing. And getting back to you know, why it is the way it is. Someone explained, I think it was Dr. Deborah Viglione, who's big around this area. She put on these medical freedom rallies, brought in folks like Jim Thorpe and Dr. Mikovits and stuff like that. And what she was explaining was in med school, they have it's basically algorithm medicine. You know, it used to be in the old days, they do what you do. You know, so what you're much more of a classic medical system. You talk to people, you find out what's wrong, you give them the options, they pick what they want. The problem is it's not covered by insurance, so we need to change that. It's like education that's not covered, you know, it's like why aren't private schools covered by taxes the way government schools are? I mean, the covered. You know, this is crazy. So in the same way, you should have healthcare should have a voucher tax credit tax deduction system that's available as well. And then you don't have to do it by income. You could do it by urgency. You could do it by you know, all kinds of different ways. Is this elective surgery? Is this Botox? Is this just so you have fewer wrinkles? That's not really high priority. Well, you're going to pay more for that. You know, is this heart surgery that you mm-hmm. need right now? You know, that you can't afford, you know, and then the alternative is dying. No, that's full voucher. That's done. You know, so there are many ways we can do it.
Right, right.
But it is a fascinating system. But algorithm medicine, the idea that, you know, COVID, you know, you plug in the formula and you get the results. And Dr. Shiba talked about this too. And he talked about that they don't do what they used to do, which is, you know, or the big thing in medicine now is individual treatment. It's custom tailored medicine. It's exactly what you're doing. But the one place where they don't have to do that, the last place of one-size-fits-all medicine where the same thing can be applied to everybody, I'll let you guess what it is. What is it? What's the last bastion of one-size-fits-all medicine?
Oh, my gosh. I have no clue. I'm drawing a blank. What is it?
Vaccinations.
Oh, vaccinations.
Okay.
That makes sense.
This is part of the fun here. You know, because think about it, all right? It's the same formula for everybody. They're not changing it by age,
yeah.
race, gender. They're not changing it by anything.
No.
By size, by weight. They're not
no.
changing it by antibody frequency. They're not changing it by anything. It's one size fits all medicine. They just give
yeah.
less of it to babies, which is criminal.
So,
and,
socialism.
Yeah.
That's socialized medicine. That's what we want to stay away from. And
okay.
Point about your model that you're talking about with the taxes,
mm-hmm.
the only way that I'm trying to mitigate those issues, because we do have people that come to us that are super strapped financially,
mm-hmm.
Is I say, is there anybody you know that can sponsor you, right? Because I've got to be able to pay my advocates. And I will tell you and your audience, I have taken no business loan out for running this business and putting this together. I put this all out of my own checking and savings. I don't rely on anybody but my own hard money. And I walked away from a really nice corporate income every two-week paycheck that was reliable. Running a business like this is not reliable. And so that's why,
we're newer to the system, but what we're doing
in terms of those situations is people can sponsor other people in need, which is great. We do have people that do that because they want to help other people, but they want action. They just don't want to put money into something they don't know what's going to happen because they've experienced advocacy for themselves. And the other side my husband's working on, we kind of team up with this stuff. We're looking at putting some type of non-for-profit side together because we do think people would want to, use that. They don't need advocacy for themselves, but they want to help other people, and this would be a way to maybe do that because the tax side of it, I think that would be a great idea. I would need to dig into how would that work, how do I keep taking care of these people?
How does St. Jude treat cancer in kids? You know, they do it mostly by donations. I think it's almost exclusively by donations. I don't know if they're nonprofit or not. I imagine they are because they're taking donations. Is that a model for you at all or for part of your operation?
Well, it could, actually the non-for-profit hospitals, you know that those are the most profitable in many cases, and they don't even tell people.
Yeah, explain that because that's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah, people go, oh, they're a non-for-profit hospital. They think that they're not making money just by the word saying non-for-profit. No. Trust me. They are the most profitable, and they don't even tell people that are struggling that make $40,000 a year going into their hospital. They get a big, fat hospital bill. They don't tell those people that they can get deeply discounted hospital bill support or free care. Those are two options, and we have resources that we help people with to say, you know what, we had a gentleman that went to the emergency room. $13,000 for 2 hours. The gentleman got nothing done, didn't feel any better. 2 hours, $13,000. He was in a certain income bracket, the gap that a lot of people are in right now, penny pension. He's like, I can't afford this, but I can't go to collections. It's going to hit my credit. And we're like, okay, here's this resource. Let's see what it can do for you. He owes $0 because of what our resources did for him. Do you think that was money well spent?
$13,000?
Yes. No. That was money well spent.
Your money was worth $13,000. No, that's insane, especially when nothing.
It's insane.
You know, I mean, there was. But did they explain what was wrong? And now nothing's wrong. That's actually a good thing. If you don't need treatment, if it's a situation that yes, you're stressed, it's going to go away. Relax. You know, go sit on the beach for a while. There's nothing medically wrong that we can do. This is a personal thing. That's a good thing. Not to get medicine for that. I mean, just because somebody doesn't get medicine doesn't mean that they're not being treated. So I understand that. But on the other hand, $13,000 with not a lot to show for it, that's crazy.
Right. Oh, it's crazy. And that's why we teach people, utilize the system appropriately. There are times to go to the emergency room, and there are times not to go to the emergency room. If you're bleeding out or stroking, I'm sorry, you have to go seek medical care because we've got to address some very crisis. So when people go, don't go to the hospital, I'm like, don't say that to people. People need to understand when to use the system, right? How
yeah,
to
but
use
COVID,
it so they can
I
get
keep
the best benefit.
COVID will kill people. They've killed a million people. You know, Dr. Fascist is what I call him, right? The genocidal, psychopathic, narcissistic, avaricious, pathologically lying vaccine drug pusher. You like that?
Yeah. Totally
that's
agree.
Well, but,
totally,
yeah,
I love that. I don't
Dr.
know
Fascist.
How you got that out of there, but that was a mouthful.
Yeah, it took me a while. Because I kept adding to it, you know, as the weeks went by. I said, well, let me add this word, too. And by the time I got it done. But think about it. You know, he's the god of COVID. He's just a success. Yet he's personally responsible, along with every other doctor that followed him, for killing a million people. That's a medical holocaust.
Yeah, it's sick. It's the sickest thing I've ever seen. And
yeah.
And I hope these people all get held accountable, and I will be glad to come watch it, because what I believe they have done is they have committed a crime against humanity, and they need to be prosecuted, and they needed to be taken care of appropriately. It is sick when you have wives calling and crying, saying they are not helping my husband, I just need him to live. Your heart stops, because some of these ego physicians in these hospital systems are so, the egos they have. And I'll tell you, the infectious disease doctors out there, they call them ID doctors, infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
These people have been utilized over the last 2 years. They probably have gotten more consults in their entire career because of COVID, because everybody's consulting infectious disease. These doctors pushed remdesivir, pushed the other two EUA medications there was. Now, of course, remdesivir is FDA approved. But these people,
it works.
If they say,
every drug
no,
that was recalled
it's,
was
it's
approved
criminal.
At some point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what are the other two
it's
drugs?
Complete, yeah.
What are
so
the
many
other
issues
two?
Out there. But anyway, that wife that you're talking to on that phone, and all she wants to do is for them to try everything possible, and you can't even get these people to try vitamin C, ascorbic acid,
mm-hmm.
or NAC, and they have these in their pharmacies because I have gotten them through hospital systems to be given to people in hospitals. It is hell on earth to try to make that water happen, but that's why you have an advocate that knows what the heck's happening and what to say, when to
Can
say it,
intervene?
How to say it.
Can the advocate intervene between the patient and the doctor and say, look, you're not treating this patient properly? You know,
yeah, we do it. That's what we
death.
Do every day.
Why are you doing this? Okay. So explain how that works.
Yeah. So we had the gentleman last week in Florida. He was at his second hospital. The doctor called and says, they're giving him remdesivir. We don't want that. My dad's really confused. They isolated us. They keep coming in and saying that they're going to, that he wants the medication, but he doesn't want the medication because he told us he didn't want that medication, but he's confused because he's got these infections and he's exhausted. I said,
mm-hmm.
great. Let's talk to the doctor together. We talked to the doctor. The doctor goes, oh, well, I guess I didn't know that. He was just mm-hmm. telling me that he wanted it. I said, oh, no, no, no. You're going to document it on the chart. And actually, doctor, this is actually, he reacted to this. I want you to put this as an allergy on his list so it's flagged by pharmacy because he clearly, there's clearly something wrong, and I want to make sure this accidentally doesn't get given because we've seen that. So when you have an allergy on your medication list, it's a red mm-hmm. flag for pharmacy to even dispense it. So when I'm sleeping at night, I don't have to worry about some of these people accidentally being given remdesivir overnight, right? So there's strategies within the healthcare system people need to understand and how to use.
Interesting. Yes, see, this is where an advocate would be really good because people don't know what they don't know. They don't know all these different ins and outs. Remdesivir, I know because I researched it. It's a failed Ebola drug that they probably have a lot of, and they want to get rid of it by selling to people. That's why we have fluoride in our water. It's an industrial waste product, you know, but it does, to a certain measure, I think, help because, you know, I've tried non-fluoridated water and, you know, gotten cavities. I got a non-fluoridated toothpaste. I got the cavities to prove it, you know, when I was a kid or young adult. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But the point is that but remdesivir, you know, this automatic giving it, and these doctors know better. So the real problem is the doctors that know better and are doing it anyway just because it's their job. They're just following orders, the old, you know, concentration camp guard Nuremberg defense. Well, we're just following orders, yeah, so we have to give this stuff. Or they're doing it for the money. Either way, they're mm-hmm. genocidal criminals. You know, I mean, how do they live
yeah,
with themselves, especially doctors that know? And the doctors that don't know, they're dangerously ignorant. They should know. So, you know.
Correct. That's why we go back to documentation. And everybody in the healthcare system knows if it's not documented, it didn't happen. So we get it into the record, right? And that's very, very important. People don't understand. They say, well, we told them. No, 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 no. Did they document it in the chart? Did they do that? Did you
see
it?
Do you have copies?
Do you know it actually
happened? Do you
keep
copies of the medical records?
Yes.
Because hospitals will change records, I have a feeling.
Oh, they sure do. I've seen it. And
tell me about it.
Look, it goes through medical records, right? Mm-hmm. And they use this cute little language. So every day there's like a template that these hospitals, they use this template. All the mm-hmm. vital signs go in, all the labs that were done fall in, and they almost template their same note over and over.
Huh.
But what happens is we can enter into progress notes, and we say, nurse, I need you to document this because this is what the patient is requesting specifically. And we want it to be sent to the hospitalist doctor today to make sure that this actually happens. Now, if they don't read it and they can be held accountable, documented. They weren't following what the patient wanted, right? So
mm-hmm.
you've got to have it documented. It's very important. You can't have these verbal conversations. And I would also advise your people to make sure they know if their state is a recording law. And if it's not a recording law,
ooh,
and something very bad is happening,
right.
Yep, you need to know your recording laws because there's either you have to disclose that you have other, you know, that you're recording. In some states, you don't have to disclose that you're recording. Okay, so people need to know that, because if you ever go down the legal route, you're going to need to make sure you follow those rules, or it won't be, you can't enter it. Now, I've just learned this through working through these things. Now, if people get in a jam and they're and they can't record within their state, they need to utilize, if it's a critical situation and it's life-threatening and those issues and it needs to be recorded, I would say there's an option. You use 911. Get it on recording. They record all of that crap. And you need that because you can then get that information, right? They're recording those phone calls when they call. We had one person that was stroking out.
Yeah,
you've got to hold these people accountable. You've got to start defending yourself and being smarter than just saying yes to everything. Right?
You know,
and people need to understand these boundaries.
It's a shame that the doctors are more beholden to their masters at the government insurance trough than they are at their job. It's a shame that that's the way it is, but that's the way it is, so we have to deal with it.
Yeah, I don't really care. And because honestly, I tell my kids, I say, you know what? There's only two things you can control in life, your actions and your attitude. I can't control what some of these doctors do, but I can control what I do. Same thing what we do for our clients. You control what you want to with your actions and attitude. That's it. And if you're not doing those things well, good luck. And I just, we're honest with people because we've got to start speaking truth. We cannot continue to live in this codependency. We've got to get a grip, because it's going to get a lot worse in the next 9 months. It's going to get a lot worse. We're seeing
Why?
It. We're up like 300% with what we're getting in terms of memberships.
Oh, you guys
and,
are. Okay.
I mean, alone with advocacy. And so when I'm seeing this, I'm a new business. This is alarming, because I'm going, wow, it is going to get a lot worse. We got all these vaccine injuries. People don't trust their physician. They're scared. Fear is deadly to the body. That stress can change things to what it does to your immune system, to your frequency within your body. And it's very important for people to start understanding what is their game plan and what are they putting together that's a good package for their life, for what do they want to do, what do they have in their cabinet that's ready to go, so we can keep them the heck out of the hospital. So it's very important for us to use that strategy, and they need to understand this. And I feel bad for some of these people, because they just go, well, my doctor told me that this is what I should do. I said, well, what do you think? Is it working? And they just go, well, no. Okay, well, did you talk to him about that? It's so important, and they just don't know how to talk to their doctor, because maybe they've been seeing them for 30 years.
Why
and they're starting
they know?
To realize,
you know,
I
talk
don't
to your mechanic,
know.
You talk to your insurance person, you talk to a lawyer if you have a legal issue, or, you know, God forbid you're arrested, you know, do something really stupid. But you talk to all kinds of folks. You know, I mean, look at students yelling at their teachers. You know, the defiance is in. So what is it? So what is it about the doctor? Well, I'll give you a perfect example. I kind of like to be my own medical advocate. I had to have open heart surgery to repair a mitral valve prolapse, which has worked very well. I was just bike riding last night, having a great time. The point is, though, that I got five individual separate opinions before I did this. You know, and they all kind of said the same thing.
Good for
you. I think maybe you're onto something here. Okay, fine. Yeah, now it seems justified, because I don't trust the medical profession. Now, the surgery went great. They almost killed me with blood thinners 3 weeks later, but that's another story. So drugs and surgery are two completely different issues. And this is why I have such problems with the whole ventilator system. I said, well, they took 4.5 liters of fluid out of my chest. They drained it, and I was fine. My lungs recovered, reinflated, and everything was great. And I never took a blood thinner again, even though they tried to put me on them. I said, what, do you think I'm suicidal? What kind of idiots are you? Anyway, so that was the mild version of what I really said to them. But the point was that they did the right thing. They drained the fluid. My lungs reinflated, which hurts, by the way. It's excruciatingly painful, but it's better than dying. Okay, great. But that was the appropriate treatment. If your chest is full of fluid, drain the fluid. Why aren't they doing that with the COVID folks? Why are they trying to force, you know, the fluid out that should have gone out your kidneys in the normal path, you know, from your chest? Why aren't they doing that? Why? What is this? Who came up with this ventilator idea?
Well, they did. They didn't even start with the appropriate early treatment to begin with, right?
Well, that's true.
So
yeah.
So when you get down the rope, the slippery rope, and the patient's on BiPAP, which is a mask forcing air to help these people try to breathe, and then you put a medication on them called Presidex, and it decreases their respirations and their heart rate. They get more anxious, and they go, "Oh, they're really decompensating. Oh, we're going to need to put you on a ventilator." Well, it's because you created the situation. You didn't give them bumesidide nebulizer. You didn't give the high dosing of solumedrol. You didn't give any of the right things to begin with. So you created the situation. Now you're going to throw them on a ventilator, probably with the wrong vent settings. Great. Now you've just introduced a new tube down their body, which is a foreign body. Now you've just introduced probably a new infection to them as well. Great. Now they're going to go septic and die.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I've lost friends, you know, to this. And I mean, I know the horror stories. I mean, people have personal friends of mine. I know exactly how this works. And this is insanity. This is medical insanity. And I love what you're doing. I love the idea of having advocates that can actually, you know, intervene and say, here's what you don't know. This, you know, first of all, remdesivir is the wrong medicine. You know, and we've talked early treatments. I was the first one to broadcast batch, as far as I know, in this country, March 2nd of 2020. There is no need for vaccines. This is a hoax. You know, I read the Dr. Didier Raoult study in Marseille, France. I had a mutual friend, fortunately, who knew Dr. Zelenko, and he just passed away recently. But we were friends.
Yeah.
And he's been on my show a few
times.
We wrote a bill. Okay, so I'll send it to you. We're going to talk a lot, you and I have a feeling. But I wrote a bill with him, and he supplied all the information. I just typed it up. It was pretty simple stuff that reforms the emergency use authorization procedure, reforms the FDA, demands that Congress take open testimony before they pass any declaration, before they even authorize a declaration of emergency. You know, it's pretty complex stuff, but he made some good recommendations. So even though he's not with us anymore, his bill still is, so we can still make changes. And so this is the kind of stuff we do here. And so I'll get that to you,
Amen.
See what you think. But thank you. But advocacy programs, you know, don't thank me, thank God. You know, and here's what this is the other thing, too, we need to talk about next time, is that every person that's come on here that talks about wellness, that talks about alternatives, that talks about taking charge, all has a strong belief in God. That is the one universal that I have found. And the other universal, of course, the contrary to the corollary to that, is that all the doctors that are following orders, that are doing everything they think they should, or they're getting the money or whatever it is, they don't have God. Fauci's their God. The government's their God, or they're their own gods. This is a huge problem that I don't think anybody's addressed. We're technically just about out of time, so only a couple minutes left. But I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Amen to that. I love that.
Yeah.
God is super important. I'm a preacher's daughter, by the way. So
okay.
I'm a big believer. And if we need to stop and pray for our client on the phone, we do that. And I even pray with a physician, a patient, and a wife over the phone in the hospital, you know, last week. And I think that physician was just kind of taken back, like, whoa. I said, well, yeah, let's just go ahead and pray. He wants to pray. We'll just do a quick prayer. I'll do it over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And the response is amazing. And I truly believe that God is working in people's lives. And we've just all got to do, the Patriots have to continue to push and
mm-hmm.
keep doing the right thing, because God always shows up at the right time.
Now, shut up with me. This is what I'm doing, Action Radio. Fearlessly with, I'll tell you a quick story. You know, I was miserable a few years ago, and I was doing this all the time. I had a full-time job. I'm delivering pizza, right, to support the show, because it's fairly mindless, and I could do half my job, you know, when I'm, you know, delivering. And I was really tired and really exhausted and almost falling asleep. And I think to myself, why am I doing this? What, you know, and this voice, you know, this clear voice, obviously not my voice, you know, God goes right into my brain and says, keep going. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I know who that is. You know, you just know. You know,
yep.
when you hear God talking, you know, and it's unmistakable, and it's friendly and feels wonderful,
yep.
warm and fuzzy. And ever since then, I've never looked back. I've never questioned what I'm doing. I don't care how tired I am. I don't care what it is. I absolutely know this is going to work, and it's the reason I know it's absolutely going to work, because I know, you know, God's got my back. But it is fascinating that the doctors without God, the doctors that think they are the highest power, are the most arrogant, most destructive, and most amenable to this mass genocide that's going on right now under the guise of COVID.
Yeah.
Isn't that
yeah.
fascinating?
I agree with you. And you can almost feel that demonic spirit over some of these conversations you have with these physicians that do not know God and that are not in tune and only believe what the CDC has been putting out there. Because these conversations, man, they're thick. And you can feel that their spirit is just way off. So, you know, and that's when we have to fire some of these doctors. So people just got to be willing to advocate, start thinking on their own. If they don't need an advocate, I say just get a game plan for you. But we're here for people when they need. And our style is very concierge-like. We are doing something completely different. I believe the system, you know, is broken. I can't fix broken, so we're going to do something out of it and try to help and save people, you know, outside of the system. And we'll work the system if we need for the benefit of the patient.
Yeah, see, I want to change the system. I think, like, we have school choice, we need health choice in the same way. Vouchers, tax credits, tax deductions, we'll be talking about that. This has been fascinating. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Let's get all your contact information. I always like to do that in the end. Of course, we're podcast, so people can listen to it, so you don't have to repeat it a bunch of times. But
yes.
Just do that once again. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, if any of your listeners want to reach out to Grave Care, they can call 469-864-7149. Jennifer's who does all the intake. She will get back with you if you leave a message. And you can text it as well. But the big thing is if you do want to just go ahead and get an enrollment, a membership started with like 60 minutes, go to the website. Go to www.gravecare. That's GRAITHCARE, C-A-R-E. .com. Click the enroll now, and you'll just it'll take you about 1 or 2 minutes to click that submit, and then Jennifer will get an alert, and she will reach out to you because that is your initial first step because she's got all your demographics and where you live. She doesn't want to call you too early if you're on the East Coast. She's in Central Time, but we're serving people everywhere.
So am I.
We believe in what we're doing, and we're just making an impact. And I appreciate what you're doing for your listeners because I believe in action. I am tired of all this talk. We've got to start doing something different for people because there's too many people's lives that are at risk.
Yeah. Well, those of us, excuse me, in the action profession, yeah, it's like talk radio has risen complaining to an art form, and we don't need that anymore. We've got to do stuff. Priscilla, thank you. I really appreciate it. Your podcast will be available in about 5-6 minutes, so you'll be able to share that. Any questions, let me know, and let's get you back. Let's get you back on the doctor's panel, and let's do a little follow-up because this is fascinating.
Yeah, that sounds good. I would love to be on that doctor panel. They might not know what to do with an advocate like me.
You're not that unusual. If you listen to our Women Wellness Wednesday hour, you know, Chancey, Lindsay, and Paige are exactly like you. So when you're talking about frequency and things like that, there's nothing you said that is unusual or shocking to our audience in terms of wellness and you know, what's new is the advocacy part. That's the part that's new. That's the part that I really want to get you on for. But as far as you know, alternatives and wellness and thinking differently and spirit, combining your spirit, your emotions and your physical body into an overall healthcare system. No, the folks here, we're completely used to that. That's what we talk about.
Love that. Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on. Appreciate what you're doing.
You're welcome. Thank you too. I appreciate what you're doing. That's it. That's it for today. Greg Penglis at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. And our legislative website is www.writeyourlaws.com. WRIteYourLaws. If you want to contribute to us, please feel free at paypal.com/paypalme/actionradio. But I'd really rather have corporate sponsors. So all you big food prep people and firearms manufacturers and anybody that is normally banned on leftist media, please feel free to help us get going here too. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Tomorrow's a special doctors panel. Priscilla, you're welcome to join. You know, feel free. That's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central time, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. I'll be back then. Then Friday, of course, our show starts early at 6 a.m. Friday. So we got our weekend start a little bit early around here. And I'll be back tomorrow.